New forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Looks like a hot weekend today. Hot and mostly sunny with a high in the mid-90s this evening. Mostly clear with a low in the mid-70s. Moving on to Saturday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-90s. Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 70s. Then on Sunday, partly cloudy skies still with a high in the mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under clear, hazy conditions, we have 77 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clear skies and 77 degrees as well. Stay tuned now. It's time for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen?
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, that's the low knee.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemy, the man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal dignity.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Oh, welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up, get up. Get to mean. We have so much stuff to talk about. You need to get to me. 454-0400, 454-6609, Liz Brown at SBC.net, or no, let's do it at revolution.com. That's Liz Brown revolution@lizbrown.com, revolution@lizbrown.com. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways, get up, get to me. We have much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. And it's been a is it ever over? Is it ever over for some folks? You think about the case of the nine other bodies. That were found when they dug up the bodies 41 years ago and discovered that those three civil rights babies had been murdered most foul. You know, there were nine other bodies of black men whose names you will never know that were found. Is it over? A man who said to kill him, a man who organized the people to kill him, a man that got the bulldozer to bury him, a man that selected where the body should be buried. Oh, he got his man slaughtered. I mean, in the United States of America, that's only manslaughter. Is it ever over? Is it ever over? I want to go to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, a 13-year-old boy. This is a huge story, just a huge story. And this is a story that reminds me of the running away to $500,000 bride. Did you hear me? Running away to $500,000 deals, bride. You see, in America, you can say that people of color raped you, kidnapped you, and still cut a deal for $500,000. It's over for her. The ordeal is over because she's made money. She's been vindicated. She's been not so much vindicated as allowed to do mea culpas and make money. There was understanding for her when she committed her crime. There's understanding for her. It's over. She did the crime, did no time, it's over. I look at the case of Lionel Tate. You remember him? It just makes my heart hurt. It makes my eyes water. It makes me so sad. When I think of this baby, when he was 12 years old, that was 6 years ago. 6 years ago, he was trying out some wrestling moves on his playmate, 6-year-old girl, and she died. And he was sentenced to life in prison in Florida. Jesus, 12-year-old, life in prison. His sentence was overturned on appeal. But they made him plea. Yeah, he served 3 years, 12, 11, I mean 12, 13, 14, 15 years old. Yeah, 10 years of probation. 10 years. 10 years of probation. 10 years that they can be stalking you. And I don't mean the kind of nice kind of stalking where they're just trying to take your picture. I'm talking about the I'm going to get you back in jail stalking. I'm going to hurt you, get you stalking. Is it ever over? Is it ever over? Last week, a 13-year-old boy said that Lionel Tate had committed an armed robbery. That he robbed a pizza delivery man at gunpoint. And part of your heart when you hear that story is like, oh, Jesus. Please don't let that be so. That baby has suffered enough. It just didn't seem right that he would be holding up pizza delivery people with the gun at gunpoint. But it turns out that the 13-year-old boy has recanted, taken back his statement. Instead, he said that a 16-year-old who the 13-year-old knows only as Willie committed the robbery. But here's the thing, that's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 words in this article. 10 words in this very short article. 10 words. The 13-year-old said he blamed Tate under pressure from sheriff investigators. Is it ever over? Is it ever over? The story should be, I want to see the pictures. I want to know the names. I want the investigation directed at the sheriff investigators who pressured this 13-year-old boy to blame Lionel Tate. Is it ever over? You do the crime. You don't do the crime. You do the time. It's never over. You do the crime. You don't do no time. And it's completely over. They will be hounding this child whose life has been indefensibly altered in an ugly way, shattered in some way. His childhood, Michael Jackson talks about not having a childhood. True enough, you had fame and money, though. This is a child who had no childhood, no fame, no money, no outlet to express his talent, no adoration from the world in the expression of that talent. These are rough times for babies. Is it when? Is it ever over? You have an 80-year-old thieves. Greedy. You know, we need a bigger word than greedy. It's not big enough to describe the appetite of the 80-year-old man who killed his own company because of his lust. an ability to steal, to hurt other people. He did the crime. He got sentenced to some time. And the judge said, well, you do 2 years and somebody say you die and we won't let you out, huh? We have terrorists who do the crime. Well, nobody said they did the crime. Nobody said they did the crime. Let me ask you this. If a terrorist killed your baby, would 20 years be enough for you? Would 20 years send a message out there that you can't commit terrorist acts in America? And let me be clear. If a terrorist killed your baby, would you be comfortable with a state that never brought charges against them? If a terrorist killed your son, would you be satisfied that he got to live out his entire life up until his 80s as a free and respected and embraced man? Would you be down with that? Only in America can a terrorist kill your baby and get 20 years. 20 years. Don't be confused by the 60-year sentence. Don't be distracted by the 60-year sentence. He killed 3 people and all he got was 60 years. He killed 3 people. A terrorist, killed 3 babies, and all he got was 60 years. Heck, we have folks that are accused. We have folks that haven't been even charged with terrorism. We have folks, Jose Padilla hasn't been charged, has been accused on public TV by John Ashcroft. And I don't mean the good public TV. I mean right in front of you TV. Free television. Jose Padilla has been in jail for 4 years without being charged with the crime, without being able to see his lawyers, without being able to see his family. He's been in there for 4 years and nobody has charged him with none. He's already served a fifth of the time that this guy is getting for one person's murder. We know this terrorist murdered these babies. And we seem to be down in America, too. We say that the guys who plotted 9/11, stay with me. The guys who plotted 9/11 are just as guilty of murder as the guys that drove the plane, right? 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 We're saying that the people that trained the people who plotted 9/11 are just as guilty as the people that were in the cockpit, whatever, driver's seat of the plane that flew into the building on 9/11. In this country, we say that all of those people are as guilty. Let's go get them. We charge them with the murder of every single person that died that day. This terrorist gets 20 years. At the age of 80. and empathy and sympathy from folks. Show me an American out there that would dare walk up to a camera and show empathy or sympathy for the man who plotted 9/11. Show me. My name is Liz Brown. This be the wake-up call 20 years. 20 years. Is it about the crime? Or is it about those who stand accused of the crime? Y'all, it's going to be a rough morning for me. I'm going to need you. Y'all going to have to hold my hand this morning. It's going to be a rough morning, I can tell. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Blake and Davis Realtors. Eastbound 70 between 94 and the Blanchette Bridge. Major road construction has two left lanes. They are closed. There are no delays at this hour. The work zone will shift this evening on the weekend to the right lanes, which will leave only the two left lanes open for thorough traffic. Eastbound 44 between 141 and Merrimack River Bridge, look for no problems to report. Northbound 55 at Merrimack Bottom, all the way into Loughborough, no problems there. Northbound 270 at 44, traffic is lighter than normal in your 6:30 commute. Eastbound 40 between Boone's Crossing and Spady, everything's flowing freely. Westbound 270 from 367 all the way to Graham Hanley, no problems to report. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge to Lindbergh, no problems there as well. Let's take a look at your bridge approaches. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect no problems to report. Westbound 64 at the 5570 merge, no problems there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing, everything's on the move. And westbound 70 at Route A, construction has it down to one lane on the exit ramp. And 44 between mile marker 204 and 214 through Cuba, Missouri, you can expect traffic to be shut down to one lane in both directions due to construction. Also in both directions, Tesson Ferry between Lindbergh and Gravois, there are paving operations that have some road restrictions there as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Blake and Davis Realtors. Interested in buying or selling a home? Call Julian Butler at Blake and Davis Realtors. You'll get real hometown advantage with their e-advantage, excellence, expertise, and experience, all at Blake and Davis. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. For today, hot, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-90s. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-70s. Saturday, partly cloudy conditions with a high in the mid-90s. Saturday evening, partly cloudy skies will continue with a low in the lower 70s. And moving on to Sunday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-90s as well. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under mostly clear skies with some haze, we have 78 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 77 degrees and clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Get out your favorite pain medication. Point your browser to Head Thumping Talk Radio with Brett Rosen at WGNU.net.
Burundi, Congo, Ghana, India, Indonesia, Kenya, Liberia, Malawi, Mexico, Myanmar, Nepal, the Philippines, Romania, Russia, Sierra Leone, South Africa, Swaziland, Thailand, Uganda. 20 countries on 4 continents, all with one thing in common. Hope for the Nations is working with children at risk, walking in God's love, listening and sensitively responding to the needs at hand, and promoting the interests of others in these diverse locations, with the goal of turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders. Learn more about Hope for the Nations and get involved in this worldwide nonprofit outreach. Visit www.hopeforthenations.com. That's one word, .com. www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations since 1994.
You've been looking for a reason to start your weekend a little early, right? Well, then why not start out with the St. Clair Fine Arts and Crafts Fair, Friday, June 24th through Sunday, June 26th, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. See fine jewelry, framed works of art, clothing, quilts, and sculptures. Discover new original artwork, candles, home decor, and photographic arts. Visit with some of your favorite artisans and crafters, and the area's top independent vendors. Learn about exotic animals from ring-tailed lemurs to mini Nigerian dwarf goats. You can even bring home your own sugar glider from Custom Cage Works. All for you Friday, June 24th through Sunday, June 26th. The St. Clair Fine Arts and Craft Fair, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights and sponsored by Custom Cage Works and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more information at spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
Join WGNU today, Friday, as we broadcast live from the Fine Arts and Craft Fair at St. Clair Square from 10 a.m. this morning till 6 p.m. this evening. It's Radio Free St. Louis on location at the mall.
New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Because you want to know what you're going to get in me. Just a little touch of star quality. And if that's the right, go too far. It's because of the things you are. Beautiful town, I love you.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Hey, Liz, how you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Hope you have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Several things. One, I saw a talk show on Channel 9 last night. I'm not going to give anybody else any plugs on your show.
Thank you.
I won't call a name. But it was interesting, some of the talk they were going over about Durbin and his apology on the floor. And, you know, the whole thing just never sat right with me because it just seems so cowardly. I mean, here he was. He's got the information. Why not just go on and use it and be done? What is there to apologize about?
Well, and I guess let me give you a quote that came from Karl Rove. Karl Rove said, told members of the Conservative Party in New York State, quote, "Conservatives saw the savagery of 9/11 attack and saw the savagery of 9/11 in the attack and prepared for war. Liberals saw the savagery of 9/11 of the 9/11 attacks and wanted to prepare indictments and offer therapy and understanding for our attackers." Now, the question is, people are Harry Reid is saying that Bush should repudiate Rove's remarks. No, what I think that should happen is that people like Durbin should never take stuff back.
No.
You shouldn't take it back. You know, you know what's going on in Guantanamo Bay. You know more than anybody else. You know more than anybody else what's going on in Guantanamo Bay. Shouldn't have taken it back.
Guantanamo Bay and Abu Ghraib.
Absolutely.
Now, remember that they've seen all of the, 1,500,
that's
1,800
right.
pictures.
That's right. You've seen it.
We've only seen blotted out versions of a few.
That's correct.
So that's what correct. Is there to apologize
Shouldn't
for?
Have
it
apologized.
Was cowardly.
It was a capitulation. It was a capitulation. Stand up. I ain't taking it back. You can't make me take it back.
And what could they do to him anyway?
Yeah.
What could they do to him?
Mm-hmm.
And as far as this killings, you know, if I did believe in the power of prayer, I'd be praying right now that God, if there is one, just do me one favor. Add 81 more years to his life. Let him spend every minute of it behind bars.
Long live killing?
Yes.
Is that the motto?
Don't put him on the killing floor.
Yeah,
just let him live.
Long live killing.
I hope nobody touches him in jail. Matter of fact, I want him to have all his Wheaties and every vitamin they can give him.
All his weights, you know, give him weights. Give him cable TV.
Because he skated along for 41 years. He took 41 years away from these boys.
Mm-hmm.
And their families.
Mm-hmm.
He has done irreparable damage.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fix. You can't. There ain't enough mea culpas in the world to fix what he did to these people.
But and I think that the component of the story about the terrorist killing is that he only got 20 years.
Yeah.
He only got 20 years for a terrorist act.
Now, yeah.
Now the sentences are running.
Concurrently?
No, they're not running concurrently. They're running consecutively, which means that they run 20, then another 20,
okay.
then another 20. So that's as it should be. But the fact of the matter is that it gives people the wrong impression that he got a whole lot of time for killing these babies, and he didn't. He only has received 20 years for a terrorist act that resulted in murder, in the death of three. That's a serial killing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so that you get 20 years for serial killing, you know? I mean, it speaks volumes about how messed up this country is.
Yes, it does. And it's one more reason why I'm always so resentful when I hear white folks perpetuate this lie about how, well, just like with 9/11, how, you know, the country all pulled together and we are all in it together. We have never pulled together because in the 500 years that we've been here, we've never been together to begin with.
Thanks for your call.
And the other thing, one last thing. How do you get to be an ex-Klansman? I mean, do you get to the point, did he get to the point where his hateometer just didn't work anymore and they kicked him out?
No, and I raised that question a few days ago.
I mean, does the Klan issue pension checks?
I don't, but that would still mean that you're still a member.
Okay. It's like they're trying to clean it up already.
How are you an ex-Klan member? That's a quite good question.
I've never heard of anybody being an ex-pedophile.
Nope. Thanks for your call.
All right.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to talk about what I consider, this is just my own opinion, a despicable, obscene act that was committed by this so-called United States Supreme Court. When it appears to me that they're going to allow big business to steal the homes of the poor by this so-called, I forget the name of what they call it, but they can just come and take your home away whenever they choose. And what is some kind of domain? Eminent domain? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Eminent domain?
Eminent domain. And I don't know whether or not it's just they made that ruling on just for one state, or is it for the whole United States? So maybe someone can explain that to me, because if these so-called Supremes make a ruling for one state, does it trickle down to all the other states? And I want your listeners to know that my mantra, and I'm going to say it every chance I get, is taxation without representation. Thank you for taking my call.
454-0400 is my phone number. Let's take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have much, 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 much to talk about. Let's get to it. 454-0400. Stay with me.
Fight. One praises fools. One's mother's light. One shifts from left to right. politics be part of the possible.
ALS is a disease that can paralyze the body, yet the mind remains alert and clear. ALS is a disease that you can help fight, and all you need is your feet. The ALS Association, along with WGNU Radio, invite you to walk with us on Saturday, June 25th at Steinberg Rink in Forest Park. To join the walk, pick up your registration forms at WGNU or register online at www.alsa-stl.org, or you can call 314-534-0610. We'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday, June 25th, at the Walk to Defeat ALS.
This hour's global news update can be heard in its entirety next Friday at this hour.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip, stop at Sears first, and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
To me, summer is family time, a time to spend with the kids doing stuff we all love to do, which is why we go to Worlds of Fun. That and the fact that they have lots of coasters. Mamba, Timberwolf, Spinning Dragons, Boomerang. I like to ride them all. Of course, World of Fun has stuff for the kids, too. Mine loved the new Peanuts Playhouse at Camp Snoopy. They played and played, took a little break, and then played and played some more. Then, if we need to cool off, we go to Oceans of Fun, where we ride the water slides, Typhoon and Diamond Head, and then the tube rides, Caribbean Cooler, Aruba Tuba, and Hurricane Falls. And finally, the wave pool. Another great thing is we can stay the night at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort. Talk about easy.
Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun. Do one park or do both with the ride and slide ticket.
It's so cool.
Open daily. Make reservations for the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort or book your Joe Cool's Backyard Barbecue at worldsoffun.com.
We're waiting for your calls at WGNU. From the local calling area, just dial 314-454-0400. If you're calling long distance, the toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. If you are calling long distance from a car phone or want to use a particular name on the air, please let us know when you call. Get into Talk Radio with a Difference. That's Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Stand there and listen to my life go by. And at times I wonder why I even try. Well, I try because I like to finish what I start, and I have like I'm invisible.
Say that you won't treat me the way you're treating me. Say that you won't.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, Barbara.
Hi, how are you this morning, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Good. Did you get a chance to look over the transcripts or see the hearing with the gentleman, the two lawyers that were affiliated with the Hammer, Mr. DeLay?
No, I didn't.
Oh, well, it was on yesterday, and it's really sad. It's about the band of Choctaw Indians. As you know, they were...
Oh, you're talking
about
Abram. Yes, Abraham, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Okay, and they had all the witnesses coming up, giving a fist. They wouldn't testify to anything, and I was just calling to agree with you about it's not the crime, it's who committed it.
It's not about the crime, it's about those who stand accused of the crime.
actually true.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not in jail. They're still out intimidating witnesses. Had that been a minority, both of them would have been in jail, so they couldn't do any further damage, but they're still out.
Here's some of the politics that's also involved in that.
It's crazy.
Well, here's some of the politics involved in it. The person, the senator that is bringing this hearing is Senator John McCain.
Right, I saw it.
Okay, John McCain has really made a whole lot of noise, and it's not out of the realm of possibilities that he'll make another run for president.
Heard that.
Now, he didn't get a whole lot of support within his own party.
He's not too smart.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what he is doing. It is not his intention to take down Tom DeLay.
Mm.
It is his intention to rattle the cage of the Republicans to say, look, you need to support me when I run for the presidency because I could take you all out with these hearings right now. So this is about rattling the cage, positioning yourself for a run at the United States presidency. That's what this is about. This is not about getting to the bottom of what happened of all the thievery that went on in this case. Now, Abraham may go down, but the issue is that Abraham did not do this by himself. He was holding the hands of a whole lot of folks. Because
a whole lot of even organizations where he set up little dummy accounts, went in there and took out $500,000 at a whop or more, and then said, give me five. They left a trail of emails. I mean, it's no question about what they did.
And there is no question.
And they were laughing at the Indians as they stole them blind to redistrict Texas to take trips. They said, I want to pay off my education fund. Can you get me five? You know, it's just so sad that the disrespect they have for people. And that particular band, as early or recently as 93, only had like $75,000 worth of investments. When they built that casino, I was living in Louisiana on Pearl River. They got loans from other Indian tribes. And the next year after that year, they made $675,000, you know, from the income from the casino. And they just went in there and stole everything. The Indians hired them to be consultants and lobbyists for them. And
they had to hire them because they were told that the only way that they were going, now they didn't have to, they were grown people, they didn't have to make any choice, they didn't want to, but they were pressured into hiring them because the directions that were given to them was that you can't get what you need unless you go through us.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just wanted to say something about it. It doesn't matter whether minorities get successful, they're going to find a way to steal your money anyway. It's just so sad.
Thanks for your call.
Have a good day.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. In the next hour, of course, we're going to be looking black. I'll be talking to Deborah Mathis. She's a former White House correspondent and a nationally syndicated columnist. Deborah Mathis is going to be with us in our next hour as we look black. I saw this wonderful cartoon, political editorial cartoon, and there was a drawing of Saddam Hussein, and over his head, based upon interviews that came out this week, over his head were the words, "He still thinks he's president of Iraq." Then next to Saddam Hussein was a drawing of George Bush with his fingers up in the letter V, and over his head it said, "He still thinks he's winning this war." And that's funny. That's funny. Because you listen to the testimony by Donald Rumsfeld that the Iraq war, the Iraq invasion, is not a quagmire. Huh? Senator Kennedy said, "This war has been consistently and grossly mismanaged." Where's the argument with that? They dropped off pallets of over $5 billion and just let people with duffel bags come get the money. $8 billion is unaccounted for. Of money dropped into a country with the size of California. So to say, what is the argument that this has been consistently and grossly mismanaged? Our troops don't have armor. Our trucks don't have armor. The people that sold our troops, their bulletproof flap jackets, they had to recall them. What part of this war, what part of this occupation hasn't been mismanaged? You said that there were weapons of mass destruction that we were going in there to get. There weren't any. There aren't any. There never were any, and you knew there never were any. Okay? So, there were no weapons of mass destruction. You said that the people would view us as liberators. They didn't. They don't. They're killing us. You said that mission accomplished 2 years ago. It hasn't. It ain't. What part of the war has not been consistently and grossly unmismanaged? I like that word, unmismanaged. Troops are dying. There's no end in sight. And what did Donald Rumsfeld say? What did Donald Rumsfeld say to the statement, this war has been consistently and grossly mismanaged? That's quite a statement, is what Donald Rumsfeld said. First of all, there isn't a person at this table that agrees with you that we're in a quagmire and there's no end in sight. Well, so? So? Just because you don't believe it doesn't make it so. And I think you're like, you know what? I take that back. Scratch that. Scratch what I just said. I want to hook them all up to a lie detector and ask them the question. Then I'll believe you. That's what Kennedy should have said. You know what? Bet. Y'all believe that? Wheel in the lie detector machine, because I don't believe that you believe that. I believe that you think this war has been grossly mismanaged too. I believe that you think that this is a quagmire too. And I believe that you would say anything to keep telling the lie that you're telling. Hook them up to a lie detector. Hook them up to a lie detector. Kennedy then asked Donald Rumsfeld, don't you think it's time that you resigned? Ouch. Ouch. Rumsfeld noted that, I've offered to resign twice to George W. Bush, and Bush declined to accept it. That's his call. What, you can't quit your job? You can't quit your job. Huh? He says that George Bush won't let him quit. Huh? Bobblehead 1 and Bobblehead 2 nodded their heads in agreement. General George Casey, General Richard Myers agreed that the war had not become a quagmire. He's right. He's right. Hook them up to a lie detector. Hook them up to a lie detector and let us all decide if they're telling the truth. If it ain't a quagmire, what is it? My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Oh, next hour is looking black. Deborah Mathis, former White House correspondent and nationally syndicated columnist, is going to be with us right here as we look black on this week. We got a whole lot to talk about. A whole lot to talk about. Fasten your seatbelts, folks. It's going to be a fast ride. Stay with us. Yeah.
say that progress is being made. If you pick a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound. That's below knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. A father and son are among five men held in the Natalie Holloway case more than 3 weeks after the Alabama teen vanished on a senior trip to Aruba. Natalie's aunt says the girl's mother has had her suspicions.
From that very, very night, you've heard her say, she has strongly, strongly felt like these two had information about where Natalie is.
Anita Vandersloot's husband and son are among those held, but not charged in this case. She says it's beyond belief.
They are threatening you around with all the time, is we pick up you. We'll pick up your dad. You're a criminal. You're a psychopath. Your dad is the same. The apple doesn't fall from the tree.
Neighbors are helping in the search for three boys, 5, 6, and 11 years old, missing in Camden, New Jersey. They vanished from one of their backyards night before last. Police say no sign of abduction. A suicide bomber slammed into a U.S. Marine convoy in Fallujah. There are casualties. It's not clear yet how many.
The type of terrorists we're facing there are dead enders. They're people that have everything to gain and nothing to lose. They'll take their own life. They'll take the lives of innocent civilians. They're taking the lives of some of our coalition forces.
White House Counselor Dan Bartlett, Iraq's new leader, visits with President Bush at the White House today. It's still a force to contend with, but a wildfire outside Phoenix is moving in the right direction, away from homes.
Firefighters feeling much better about the Cave Creek complex than they did just hours ago. While the fire is still big at about 46,000 acres and only 5% containment, there's still a lot of fire on the ground, but people have been allowed to return to their Tonto Hills homes, about 170 people sleeping in their homes.
Reporter Jim Cross, firefighters east of L.A., hope to have a wild blaze there contained by tomorrow. And it's good to be a Spurs fan. San Antonio unseated the NBA champs, beating the Pistons in Game 7. This is ABC News.
Former Nesquik powder users are telling us why they switched to Rich Chocolate Ovaltine.
Out of habit, I would buy Nesquik because we grew up on it. Back then, nobody paid that much attention to what kids were eating and drinking. Today, you gotta pay closer attention to nutrition. Recently, there have been Ovaltine commercials that emphasize the vitamins and minerals. We'll go with the Ovaltine. My kids like it because it's chocolate. And to me, it's a better product because it focuses on vitamins and minerals.
Ovaltine. Try it for the nutrition. Keep buying it for the taste.
More Ovaltine, please!
In 1993, popular science called the original wave radio a sonic marvel. Now, Bose has engineered it to a whole new standard. Introducing the new Bose Wave Music System. It reproduces one-half octave lower musical notes and has even greater instrument clarity. The elegant new design has no buttons. A small remote now controls all functions. So call 1-800-611-1617 to order yours today. It comes with a 30-day risk-free trial and shipping is free. That's 1-800-611-1617.
It's not pretty. A new study looks at America's popularity around the world.
The image of the ugly American just won't go away. In fact, the latest Pew Global Attitude Survey indicates while America's image abroad shows modest signs of improvement, overall U.S. foreign policy is still seen as overwhelmingly arrogant, heavy-handed, and incompetent. Solid majorities in five predominantly Muslim countries surveyed expressed unfavorable views. However, in Indonesia, public opinion towards America has rebounded, in part because of America's generosity after the tsunami. Attitudes towards the U.S. and the former East Bloc are more favorable than in most Western European countries. And interestingly, China now has a better image than the U.S. in most European nations. Linda Alban, ABC News, London.
Paul Kramer is heading to his niece's wedding this weekend in suburban Cleveland. He lives in Southern California, and he made the trek by bicycle. He left home in April, made it with time to spare, and plans to bike back. He's 61. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning, I'm Rich LaCroix with a WGNU News update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, it's back to normal this morning at the St. Louis University Hospital emergency room after a brief scare yesterday. Officials shut down the emergency room for about 2 hours yesterday afternoon when a female patient was admitted with symptoms that could have indicated monkeypox. of hospital officials say the woman has not been given a definitive diagnosis, but it's not likely that she has the rare disease. The patient may have contracted the unknown illness while traveling out of the country. Congressman Russ Carnahan will host the town hall meeting Sunday afternoon to discuss meth production in Missouri. Carnahan says meth is one of the most pressing issues facing Missouri in general and his district in particular, as Jefferson County leads the nation in meth arrests and seizures. Sunday's town hall meeting at 3 p.m. at the Fox High School Library will include Jefferson County law enforcement and fire protection officials and medical personnel. Carnahan is asking the community at large to come to the meeting and give input. As the summer heats up and air quality worsens, Missourians are reminded that they can help the environment by taking proper care of their cars. Sarah McMichael, a spokesperson for the Missouri Department of Natural Resources, says doing some very simple things can be beneficial to everyone.
Well, by making sure your car is running properly through proper vehicle maintenance, you can not only save gas and money, but also reduce harmful tailpipe exhaust.
McMichael suggests following all recommended service schedules, checking your cooling system and fluids on a regular basis, keeping your gas cap tightened, and getting your car serviced when the check engine light goes on. She says that is especially important because the light is an indicator of a pending emission problem. And finally this hour, you've heard of black boxes on jetliners, but what about automobiles? According to theautochannel.com, the high-tech recording devices are quickly gaining support, especially from parents who want to keep a close eye on their kids' driving habits. Safety officials agree, especially after recent statistics show 10 teenagers die every day in the U.S. in automobile crashes. Each black box would cost $280. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by the Granite Works. Granite countertops add significant value and beauty to any home, and at only $38 a square foot installed from Granite Works, you can't go wrong. Call 862-6300. That's 862-6300. That's the news up to 7 o'clock this Friday morning. I'm Rich LaCroix for WGNU News. More local news comes your way in 1 hour here on Radio 920. Right now, here's Howard Morton with another look at traffic.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Ride Finders. Westbound 270 at Canal Bridge, a disabled vehicle reported in traffic lane. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and 270, no problems to report. Northbound 270 from Gravoy to 44, look for slow traffic in pockets. Westbound 270 between Old Falls Ferry and Graham Hanley Road. Everything seems to be on the move this hour. Westbound 255 between Coke and 55. Expect normal traffic this hour. Your bridge approaches stack up like this. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic this hour. Westbound 64 at the 5570 merge. Look for normal traffic. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side all the way into Laclede's Landing. Everything seems to be on the move at this hour. In both directions, Tesson Ferry at Lindbergh, look for paving operations, shutting that down between Lindbergh and Gravoy. That'll be going on throughout the day. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Ride Finders. Pumped up by gas prices, pump money back into your pocket by carpooling to work using Ride Finders free ride matching service. Call Ride Finders at 1-800-VIP-RIDE. That's 1-800-VIP-RIDE. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Mostly cloudy today, or mostly sunny today with a hot temperatures. The high should be in the mid-90s this evening, mostly clear, with a low in the mid-70s for Saturday. Look for mostly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-90s. Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 70s. And then on Sunday, partly cloudy once again with a high in the mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we are showing 79 degrees under clear skies with haze. Lambert Field is reporting 78 with hazy conditions as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's Looking Black. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brother, tell my sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brother.
of jail tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Welcome to this week's edition of Looking Black, a review of issues that have impacted your life this week and where they may take us next, from differing perspectives. Here's Liz Brown and our guest journalists for this week.
Welcome, welcome to Looking Black. Our guest this week is Deborah Mathis, former White House correspondent, nationally syndicated columnist. She's joining us from Washington, D.C. Deborah, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Very good. So, it's been a busy week.
As always.
It's been a busy, busy week. Everybody's just falling all over themselves apologizing. Falling all over themselves, apologizing.
Yeah,
you know, it must be something in the moon or something.
If only they've met it.
Yeah, exactly, know? Exactly. So what's caught your eye?
Well, several things. Of course, I mean, this latest thing that Karl Rove has said, portraying liberals, you know, conservatives as wanting to go kick the terrorist rears after 9/11, and liberals is wanting to give them therapy.
Well, and the quote,
understanding.
The quote is: conservatives saw the savagery of the 9/11 in the attacks and prepared for war. Liberals saw the savagery of the 9/11 attacks and wanted to prepare indictments and offer therapy and understanding for our attackers.
Mm-hmm. You know, this I had said maybe a couple of years ago that I felt the beginning of a turn away from all this really harsh partisan rhetoric and this us and them kind of lingo, and I guess I was wrong. I still think the country's tired of it, but I thought that it would be more evident by now to the politicians. But it seems that they're just turning up the heat. They're not even pretending anymore, as they used to get along. And
but has it
you know,
ever
it's not good. It's just not good for anything.
Well, has it ever been as profitable to be this partisan?
You know, that's a good question. Not having been around at the beginning of the Republic, I can't say ever, but I know this, that in my lifetime, at least the time I've been an aware adult, no, it is. There seems to be some fun to some people, and not only some profit, but some fun and some satisfaction mm-hmm. that people get from feeling part of a particular team. I guess it kind of goes to something real basic in us that we're competitive and we like to be on one side or the other, and our side to win at all costs, and that kind of thing. And maybe that's what's at play here. All I know is that it's not good for us, because if you cannot get, if it gets so divided that one side says we won't listen to anything you have to say because anything the other side has to say is wrong and evil and stupid and whatever else it may be, then you know what? The country is really in danger, because we miss hearing some fairly good ideas, because from either side. Either side might have some good ideas or some semblance of a good idea, the seed of a good idea, but we won't even hear it because the other side is foreclosing on you because you are the other side. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but isn't that the part and parcel, the definition of intolerance?
It is.
You know, and
it,
and
it,
I guess
it absolutely is. And ironically, as the country becomes more diverse in many ways in terms of lifestyle, culture, ethnicity, religion, etc., you know, we're becoming more and more intolerant. And we're...
Or are we? Are we becoming more and more intolerant? Or are we continuing to express what we've never dealt with? I mean, the intolerance of a Trent Lott, it's not any different than the intolerance that caused, you know, our people to be ripped from Africa and brought here as enslaved people and become enslaved. So isn't it, isn't it the fruit of the same tree?
You have an excellent point. And I guess that I don't think it's naivete on my part. I think it's this, you know, this
keep hope alive
that I have, that people are going to, you know, that we're going to figure some things out, and how foolish we've been about some ideas and let them go. But we don't seem to do that. We just seem to repeat the same mistakes and maybe, you know, move them different places and enact them in you know, with some different ways.
Wear different costumes.
Exactly, but they're the same thing. And I'm so disappointed in us as human beings for this.
Mm-hmm. You know? And I the reason I asked you about the apology component is that I can't help but think as we look at these efforts that we will never be healed as a nation until we acknowledge honestly what we have done, and we actually make attempts to rectify that and to fix that. The case coming out of Virginia about the schools where they when Brown versus Board of Education was passed, they closed the schools for 5 years rather than have white kids and black kids go to school together.
Well, you know, I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas, home of the great Little Rock Central High desegregation crisis in 1957 and the Little Rock Nine. And they closed the schools the year after. I mean, the thing that a lot of people don't know, the whole history of this thing, was that before Central High allowed those nine black students out of a population of 1,500, mind you, nine black students to invade that space. The plan was, Little Rock School District plan was, that Hall High, a brand new school in an all-white neighborhood for all-white students, had to be completed. That construction on that had to be completed. If it were not completed, they were going to hold off on integrating with the nine students. So, in other words, white students just couldn't take these nine bodies, had some refuge. If that school had not been completed, Central High would not have been integrated in 1957. It would have been the next year. But what they did the next year anyway, even with Hall High there, was shut all the high schools.
One of the things that Thurgood Marshall said and expressed a great deal of regret about, and it's that same feeling that you're expressing today. He said that he felt that after Brown versus the Board, after they won that case, he felt, okay, we're done with this issue. He said, I regret underestimating and not seeing clearly the opposition to this.
Yeah.
This is a man that had experienced racism his entire life, and he still said it when he thought that he, when he won Brown versus the Board of Education, that they would follow the laws.
Well, you know, we thought, and I've written this in the book I wrote a few years ago, titled Yet a Stranger, that, you know, our mistake, our naivete, it was naivete, our innocence.
And it's also that keep hope alive spirit.
Exactly.
Too.
And our innocence was, our innocent belief was that that door that said white only or colored only or whatever was the problem. And once we got that door cleared, things would fall in line. We didn't realize that the problem was what was behind the door, what was inside that room.
Is it that we didn't realize it or that we just didn't want to see it?
I think we didn't realize it, because I really think that we are loving, hopeful people. And we just assumed that once people got to see that we were decent people and we could disabuse them of these ridiculous ideas they had about us, you know, by just mere exposure, not by acting any particular way, just getting a look at us for once, being under the same roof for once, that would be the end of it. We didn't realize that they weren't going to even bother to take that look. And I think, you know, and I really do think it was because of our our good nature, our basic good nature, and our sense of community.
Well, and I look at today the case coming out of Virginia, where the baby schools were closed for 5 years, and there is a bill that was signed off by the governor, that they said that yes, this happened to you, we're going to give you $5,000 to pay for that. But the two components of that just to me that once again gets to the place that this is not about an apology, this is not even about trying to make something right. Mm-hmm. Half of the money comes from a black man who's using his own money for the seed money for this. And then secondly, or three things. Secondly, that they have to go, ostensibly, there's going to be a white school that's going to make money off of, because it can only be used for scholarships, and scholarships for, mind you, 50 and 60-year-old people. And then thirdly, the governor wanted to make very clear, this is not about reparations. We don't want you, and if they don't use the money is not used. It
right.
just doesn't get to go to their family, doesn't get to go to their kids, but undoubtedly it will end up going to making a white school somewhere some more money off of their education.
It's a piece of work, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And here's the thing that really gets me, is that people like you and like me and probably like most of your listeners who are so sensitive to these issues are accused over and over again of playing the victim card and that kind of thing. And that just annoys me to no end, because I say to people, and this is from white and black people that will say, you know, stop playing the victim card. You know something, it's not an either-or proposition. Mm-hmm. The fact is that black people have been victimized by this society and continue to be victimized by this society. And we would be ridiculous not to acknowledge that and not to call out the people who are responsible for it. That would be irresponsible in and of itself. However, that does not mean that we just remain in victimhood. You may have victimized me once, but you don't get to keep doing that. So while we are correcting this and dealing with this, I'm going to move on. So it's not an either-or proposition, as these critics try to make it seem, that just because we raise the issue of victimization doesn't mean that we are wallowing in victimization.
Well, and you hear that type of language from abusers. That's the same type of response that the husband that's abusing the wife would say. If you would stop making me so mad, I would stop hitting you.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, if you would get your face out of my fist, I would stop hitting you. You know, so to have people that are supportive of the abuse or engaged in the abuse to criticize those that are calling people out on the abuse is meaningless. And you know, I mean, of course they are going to say that it is your fault and it is not mine.
Sure. Sure. And it really gets me, the black people that do this, and this is something that's new in my life, to see this growing trend among black people, many of them younger black people, young adults, who are so opposed to, quote, race talk.
But I think that folks from the generation before them bear some responsibility in that, from the perspective of how do you I call them DSEG babies. We have them here in St. Louis, people that ended up going through the DSEG program, being taken, young African children being taken out to environments that had nothing to do with them. And when they come back from those environments saying things like that, it's because that's what they have been taught. And that's what they continue to be taught. I assure you that a lot of those 20-something-year-olds that are talking that smack now, when they're 45, they're not going to be saying the same thing, or they're going to have high blood pressure. They're going to have a whole lot of illnesses because the real world will reinforce in them. When I went to law school, everybody was cool when you went to law school. People hung out, black and white people hung out together. But once the bell rang and those degrees were handed out, the real world began. And folks got about their real life, and they acted the way that that society tells them to act. Just like you don't see a lot of white parents wanting their kids to mix when they are in 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, and 10th grade. Grammar or elementary school is okay, because it doesn't mean a whole lot there. But once it gets older, the world gets real.
That's right. Well, you know, I hope you're right. I hope that there is an awakening at some point, better late than
Oprah
never.
Oprah got a reminder.
I didn't see that.
You know, and I'm not, and ooh. I know she's mad, and it's good that she's mad. And then she said that she's called them. I've read that she called them up and said I'm never going to buy one of your products again. And apparently she's going to talk about it on her show. But you know, everybody who is of African descent in America gets a reminder or a constant reminder.
Yeah, but, you know, I still am chagrined by those who won't acknowledge that that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And there are those there. And I know that you can't save everybody. I mean,
No, you can't.
And I realize you have to write some people off. But it just bothers me that some of these people are finding their way into positions of power and policymaking positions where they won't acknowledge things.
That brings us back to the first comments that we had, and there's money in it today.
Yes,
you know, there's
there are rewards.
There are rewards. And there's television.
Looking the other way.
And there's television today, and there's the internet today. There are all kinds of, because people crave fame and fortune anyway. So there's fame and fortune in the media, the type of media that we have today, to engage in that kind of self-loathing behavior.
And you know something, I've been told point blank, you know something, Deborah, you can get made tonight.
Mm-hmm.
All that I have a syndicated column. I'm already an established journalist. I have my forum kind of set up. If I just started writing and talking like a conservative black woman, I'd be made. I could be rich in a week.
When I graduated from law school, the head of the Republican Party approached me and said, "You know what? I can make you. I can make you, and here's how, I mean, you want to be a judge, you want to be this, you want to be that, I can make you." You know, I mean, you can, but, you know, I got to wake up with me every day.
Isn't that the truth?
I got to wake up and live with Liz Brown.
And proud.
Yeah. You
that's
know, you know, so yeah, there are opportunities out there to sell out all over the place. But there are, but I when I think of people of African descent that engage in that type of behavior, I remind myself that there are women who stay in abusive relationships and defend their abusers. That's a pathology. That's a psychology. That is another result of constant abuse, that all of a sudden you begin to defend your abuser.
Sure.
You know, so some people do it for that. Some people do it for fame and fortune. Some people, and everybody's going to have an Oprah moment. You know, whether they acknowledge
it
or not.
Yeah, I mean, that was something.
And it's not going to be, the difference between Oprah and us, I'm not going to have an Oprah moment at that store.
Yeah. Mine might be a Kmart.
Mine's going to be a Kmart. Yes,
oh,
indeed.
My goodness.
Yes,
well, that was a terrible mistake on their part. I'll
there will be Oprah toupee. There will be Oprah toupee. That woman, she said that she had bought like a dozen $6,000 purses there just a week before, you know. And she was trying, and she walked in and said, I want to buy a watch for Tina Turner. And they said, well, we've had problems with these North Africans up in here before. Now the store's closed. And we're setting up for publicity. Well, baby, you fixing to get some. You're fixing to get some publicity.
There sure is some justice in that.
Yeah.
So, I wish that, you know, it's too bad that more of us don't have the kind of influence that Oprah does to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard, in fact, there was a black columnist that there was a story not long ago about a man of Middle Eastern descent who was a longtime employee at a Baltimore hotel. And when the president came there to speak, the Secret Service essentially told him his services would not be needed that day, even though he was scheduled to work, because of his heritage. And, you know, he was automatically held in suspicion under these post-9/11 days. And I was just so outraged over this whole thing. And this black columnist said, well, you know, go work somewhere else. I thought, my God, you know, is that the way you're looking at these things? Go work somewhere else. Go move somewhere else. Go go play somewhere else, go swim somewhere else. Well, we've always had that option, but that's not what justice is, and that's not what equality is, and that's not what freedom is. Freedom is about choices.
And you don't get to treat me like that.
Exactly.
That's the bottom line. It's wherever I am, you don't get to treat me like that and get away with it. You don't get to treat me like
that. True
that. You know, you don't get to do that. Well, we have to take a break. How much longer can you stay with us, Deborah?
A few more minutes.
Okay.
I've got 10 more minutes.
Okay.
So I've got to teach a class. I'm sorry.
Okay, we're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. This is Looking Black. I'm with Deborah Mathis. Stay with us.
Below, but now you never show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath we drew was hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Ride Finders. HungryAgents.com, excuse me. Eastbound 44 between Antire and Merrimack River Bridge, no problems report. Northbound 55 between Carondelet and Arsenal, everything is on the move there. Northbound 270 between Tesson Ferry and 44, everything is flowing freely this hour. Eastbound 40 between 141 and McKnight, traffic is flowing freely as well. And westbound 270 between 111 and Canal Bridge is stopping to traffic due to an earlier stall. Taking a look at your other bridge approaches. Westbound 5570 between 64 and Poplar Street Bridge is slow. Westbound 64 add to 5570 split. Look for slow traffic. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way onto Laclede's Landing. Look for traffic to be flowing freeway. Hampton and Oakland, there's a report of an accident. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by HungryAgents.com. Stop paying 5 to 7% real estate commission to sell your home at HungryAgents.com. Top realtors in your neighborhood compete for your listing, saving you thousands. They'll help you find a realtor that's just right for you. HungryAgents.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today. Hot, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-90s. This evening, mostly clear with a low around the mid-70s. Saturday and Sunday, pretty much the same. Partly cloudy straight through with a high in the mid-90s on both days. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 79 degrees under clear, hazy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 78 and hazy conditions as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's Looking Black that comes right back your way following these brief messages. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
On matters of the heart. Want to get on the good side of your special lady? Well, all you have to do is take her to the St. Clair Fine Arts and Crafts Fair this weekend, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. She'll love strolling through a huge array of fine jewelry, framed works of art, clothing, quilts, sculptures, and a whole lot more. She'll also enjoy visiting with some of her favorite artisans and crafters. And who knows what she might come home with for you. If you're really smart, though, you'll go with her, keep an eye on what she likes, and then get it for her. You can even bring home an exotic pet from Custom Cage Works, the best brand in Texas. Now remember, the St. Clair Fine Arts and Crafts Fair is this Friday, this Saturday, and this Sunday, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights, and sponsored by Custom Cage Works and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more information at www.spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
Join WGNU today, Friday, as we broadcast live from the Fine Arts and Craft Fair at St. Clair Square from 10 a.m. this morning till 6 p.m. this evening. It's Radio Free St. Louis on location at the mall.
Walking for most of us is something we take for granted. Use your gift of walking Saturday, June 25th at the Steinberg Rink in Forest Park. Registration 9 a.m. Walk begins at 10 a.m. Distance 3.1 miles.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm.
IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. 9913. That's 800-376-9913.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Looking Black. The Week in Review, The Week Ahead, In Differing Perspectives, with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Looking Black. I am talking to Deborah Mathis. She's the former White House correspondent and nationally syndicated columnist, and she's with BlackAmericaWeb.com. She's joining us from Washington, D.C. Deborah, welcome back.
Thank you.
So what else caught your eye?
Well, of course, this whole Downing Street memo issue, which the White House is studiously avoiding and trying to put down as a distortion. It is, from every appearance and by consensus, except for the White House, legitimate, completely legitimate. And it gives detail and lends more truth and support to what a lot of us had said all along, and that is these were, you know, cooked up reasons to go to war with Iraq. I don't know how many, I don't know why so many people are still skeptical about it, how many voices, legitimate, credible voices, they're going to need to hear before they care.
Well,
although I have to say, I think the White House is masterful in the way it has spun this whole thing to you know, look at the ends, look at what's turned out, look at what's developing now, look at the and look at the responsibility we have to make sure the mess that we made it has a happy ending. You know, taking your eye off the ball of why we even went there at all. I mean, that's moot. That's the big argument now. That's water under the bridge. Let's deal with what is.
Well, I looked at, I Googled the Downing Street memos, and there's about a million and something sites on just on the web.
Already, yeah.
And then, of course, there's the Congressman John Conyers petition with over half a million people, probably closer to a million by now. Right. I think that this story, like, and I think it's similar to the Clinton story in terms of the Monica Lewinsky story. That there will be a grassroots groundswell on this, despite the fact, different than the Clinton piece. I think that there will be a grassroots groundswell on this, which is how I think it will be sustained, despite the fact that the media is not shining its camera on it all the time, or even in any kind of, although it was on the front page of the Washington Post the other day.
Yeah.
And I think that is almost entirely because of the grassroots swell of this.
Well, I hope that you're right about that. I don't have a lot of faith in that anymore.
I have faith in the grassroots. I have faith
in the grassroots, but I don't have faith in its power to overwhelm the people who pull the levers of power now, who are all conservative and all in that same bandwagon. And they control what happens. I mean, even with John Conyers, long-standing, one of the senior most members of the
76
House.
76 years old.
You know, they put him in the basement. He has to go to the basement.
Ah, but he's working
to,
that.
To hold his forum because they won't allow him.
But see that?
The Republicans won't allow him a hearing room and to have a legitimate hearing. The lights go out. The mics don't work. I mean, it was a joke.
But I think that's just the way that God works sometimes. I think it's better that they put him in the basement. I think it gives, again, it empowers the grassroots to be more angry about this. It empowers, it shines a light on the righteousness of what he's doing. And like I told someone last week, heat rises. You know, go ahead,
yes,
put me in the basement. Heat rises. It's going to work.
Well, Liz, from, as they say, from your mouth to God's ears. And I sure hope so, because it's so past time for people to get upset about this. I mean, you know, the whole election of 2004 election, I mean, I cannot believe the number of people who were taken in by that whole gay marriage, that last minute emphasis on gay marriage and abortion and everything, which were not even on the table. Those are not even agenda items. Those didn't belong in the mix. They were last minute concoction of Karl Rove. Brilliantly done, because he understood that, you know, if you can punch people's emotional levers, you can get them out to the polls. And he succeeded in doing that. But I am so, again, disappointed, actually disgusted by the number of Americans who continue to fall for this thing and who are so gullible about authority. If they still believe, you know, well, the teacher said so, so that must be the case, without ever questioning anything. You're grown-ups, for God's sake, now. Start asking some questions. Start entertaining a little bit of doubt and skepticism. It won't kill you, I promise. Mm-hmm. It won't get you run out of the country, and it won't get you killed. So, you know, try a little dose of skepticism sometime and ask, why are these people saying this and why are they saying it now? And allow yourself to doubt sometime and question sometime. It's a very healthy exercise.
And I guess I would just, again, look at the generations prior to you, look at the generations prior to me, look at the generations prior to other people our age, and you... When I was going to high school, they couldn't go into my locker without a warrant. Uh-huh. We now have kids growing up in environments where they're right, the recruiters can come into their schools and get all their business. The Pentagon is now keeping a database, or putting together a database with a private company, on 16 to 21-year-olds. There has been such a gradual numbing, I think, of generations as to what it is that they can fight for, because they have been taught to sacrifice their rights on the altar of law and order. So,
well, and let me say why it is important to pursue this whole thing about what Bush didn't know and when he didn't know it. Because we have to be able, there's certain things we have to be able to expect and demand, in fact, that the President of the United States be honest with us about. And that is one of them, one of the primary ones, is when we need to go to war. And the reason we have to enforce this and make them, hold them accountable for this, it goes back to the boy crying wolf story. If we have learned now that all of this was crying wolf over Iraq, then the next time he comes to us, the wolf really may be there.
There you go.
But we won't believe him, and we will not commit the troops that we need, and therefore we're going to really be in danger.
Yes, yeah.
Because we will not say okay the next time, because mm-hmm. we didn't believe you the last time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's the way you endanger the country long term. And this is why it's important to teach a lesson. You will not lie to us about why you want to send our children to war.
There you go. And that is a danger and a discussion that is not had, because there is a cost to this lie. And it definitely is the boy who cried wolf. It truly is. It truly, truly is.
True. One other thing before I go.
Yes, ma'am.
The Supreme Court ruling that allows a city or a municipality, a state, locality, to government to exercise eminent domain, to seize your property, in other words, if it's considered, it used to be for the public good, like the construction of a highway or a school or something. Now they're saying it can be done for private interest if that private interest purports to be doing something that's good for the community, like providing jobs. They're going to build a factory or something to provide jobs. In Little Rock, Arkansas, where I'm from, I understand that right now this is going to hit hard a community called the East End, all black, very proud, very old community. Those houses, those homes, those communities and families are going to be knocked out because their private interests that have their eyes on that land, and the argument can be made that this is good for the whole community, and they'll have to go. This is really bad for poor people, for black people, for people who don't have a lot of entrenched power.
And like people that go after communities of African descent to go after poor people, understand that they don't hold their bellies in. They're coming after other people as well.
Right.
They will come after, because there's a community, Sunset Hills, here in Missouri, that is not a poor community, and they're fighting the same thing that folks from other communities, like the community you just described, are fighting. It's not going to just be us, because it never really is just us.
Right. It just starts with us.
There you go. Deborah Mathis, former White House correspondent, nationally syndicated columnist, BlackAmericaWeb.com. Thank you so much for joining us on
Always
Looking
Black. Always my pleasure. I wish I could stay longer, but my students are waiting.
I understand. Take care now.
Thank you, Liz.
All right. Listen, folks, we're going to take a break. I'll get back to some of your calls when we get back. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me. We ain't done yet.
They won't let me have it. Not even here. No one else want it. And if I try to take it, they wanna break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it, Lord, I can take it. I'm a cut the drama, boy, save it for your mama. I'm the greatest man alive. I can't sweat it, no, I got to get it. I'm the
This hour's Wake Up Call Global News Update can be heard in its entirety next Friday at this time.
You don't have to travel to Washington, D.C. to visit the West Wing. Just listen to Herb Steck online at WGNU.net.
ALS is a disease that can paralyze the body, yet the mind remains alert and clear. ALS is a disease that you can help fight, and all you need is your feet. The ALS Association, along with WGNU Radio, invite you to walk with us on Saturday, June 25th at Steinberg Rink in Forest Park. To join the walk, pick up your registration forms at WGNU or register online at www.alsa-stl.org, or you can call 314-534-0610. We'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday, June 25th, at the Walk to Defeat ALS.
Hi, this is Vicki Pimentel inviting you to join me for a little sports talk on a Friday evening. Yeah, tune us in. 6 o'clock on Friday nights, right here on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% of the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Liz Brown. Let me get to some of your calls and comments. Greg on a car phone.
Yeah, good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Yeah, this whole thing with the Supreme Court, you know, governments all over the world are interested in doing what they want to do with other people's stuff.
You betcha. You betcha.
And it's, you know, governments know that they can get more tax dollars or, you know, and it's not just here in this country. What's that guy's name, Mugabe in Zimbabwe? He's taken out entire portions of those cities over there and relocated, claiming that he's trying to redevelop slums. You know, it's everybody around the world.
Okay.
Do you agree?
I don't agree about Robert Mugabe, but I agree that governments do try to take land from people all over the place, and governments that are not entitled to and should not do that. And particularly in this country, I believe that it is the highest court in the land that is putting the rights of business owners above the rights of legitimate property owners, and therein lies the difference in a lot of countries.
Well, why do you think what Mugabe is doing is so different?
Well, I think that the decisions that Mugabe are made, Mugabe and his country, Zimbabwe, has a totally different history about land than our country does. Mugabe is attempting to realign land that was stolen from an entire nation of people, or entire group of people, and that process is going to have to be different than the process that land is done with here. This country stole land, and they never paid people back, or they kind of sort of paid some Native Americans back, but they've taken it back or have squandered the money. People that steal property, I wish the United States would attempt to legitimately give land back or realign land with the real property owners. They haven't. What they've done is realign land with the people that have the most money, and that's a different thing.
I guess I'll see you. Okay.
All right. Thanks for your call. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
You know, how are you this morning, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
This wasn't going to be my question, but one of your callers mentioned something about Zimbabwe. It kind of changed my thoughts. But let me explain a little, just real briefly about Africa, period. You know, when Western powers, you know, i.e. United States, Britain, and, you know, basically white countries, when they try to get something out of Africa and they want to give aid, one of the stipulations they throw on the table is that you have to look at the way you distribute land, the way land is handled, and entirely different. Land should be able to be privatized. Well, Africans don't have that concept in their mind of that the land belongs to people, any particular person or entity, but it's there for the people, and no people can say that they own the land. And as far as Zimbabwe, you know, in past history, it's dealing with Western power, we have found that when you have a stable black African government, and one of the ways they go about destabilizing or overthrowing that government, they usually work in these little camps where you have workers who work in the city and don't want to go all the way back out to their village, but they place these encampments around the city. And these Western powers would go into these encampments and try to formulate and form little opposition groups by giving them arms and telling them that this and that, things that they would do in order to come up with an insurgency group to go into the cities and try to take over the government. We have seen this in the past, those in the know. So what Mugabe is doing is for twofold. One, to not let that happen. Also, to provide something better for the people than what they have.
Absolutely. And again, it is interesting to me how willing that there are people from Western people to peer into a country, particularly on a continent like Africa, and suggest how governments that are democratically elected governments and even if they're not democratically elected governments, to say how their country should be run when there is no such effort or action about what happens in this country.
Absolutely.
You know,
and look,
I mean,
at this country. I can think of here in St. Louis, we had what we call it Hooverville down on the riverfront, that this government, that white government, destroyed black settlements. You have Deer Creek, you have Kenlock, you had Tiffany, you had DeVille, you had Meacham Park. those were communities where blacks had their homes here in this area that was taken from them before you had this Supreme Court ruling.
There you go.
We've always experienced these things. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Oh, hi, Liz.
Mildred, good morning.
Hi. I wanted to talk to Deborah Mathis, and I'm sorry I missed her, because I wanted to compliment her on her superior intellect. She used to call the Washington Journal during the 90s, and Liz, she never had to defend herself because she never got a negative call that I knew of from the people who would call in, and I thought she was just excellent. And I'd like to know, too, Liz, if you can remember, what is the name of her book?
You know what?
Is it Yet a Stranger?
I will have that for you in just a minute.
Okay. And also, I would like to know, how can we get her column into the St. Louis Post-Dispatch?
Yeah, well.
She's superior.
Yes, she is. She's very, very, very good.
I think she's very great.
Very, very good.
And I wanted to tell her so. And one more thing, Liz. What is wrong with Democrats that they're so taken aback by what Karl Rove has said? Karl Rove has always been in the driver's seat in the Bush administration, and they ought to know that.
And you know what? You shouldn't. Durbin shouldn't have apologized.
No, he shouldn't have.
Durbin shouldn't have apologized.
He didn't say anything wrong.
No, he didn't. No, he did. And the name of Deborah Mathis's book is Yet a Stranger.
Great.
Yet a Stranger.
It must be in the local bookstore,
yes.
And I'm going to find it.
Okay, Yet a Stranger by Deborah Mathis.
It should be interesting.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Please don't forget, there will be a foreign policy discussion, panel discussion this Sunday at the Regional Arts Commission. That's right across the street from the pageant right there on Delmore, east of Skinker. We're going to be talking, there are going to be panelists talking about Colombia, our foreign policies in Colombia and the so-called war on drugs. We're going to be talking about the Haitian policy. We're going to be talking about our policy with Cuba. We're going to be talking about our policies with Venezuela. We're going to be talking about the Palestine-Israel relationships. We're going to be talking, we're going to have panelists from all over the world and all over the city talking about these issues and connecting these issues to our foreign policy today. I'm going to be on the panel. I'm going to be talking about Venezuela. So why don't you come on down? It'll be a good opportunity to hear some information, to connect the dots, to tie some things together. 3:30 to 6 o'clock on Sunday, panel discussion on foreign policy put together by the American Friends Service Committee. That's at the Regional Arts Commission. That is right across the street from the pageant, east of Skinker, on Delmar, right there at Delmar and Skinker. So come on down to the Regional Arts Commission on Sunday at 3:30, and we're going to have an incredible discussion that's going to tie it all together for you. And I love panel discussions anyway. You're just able to sit down and have back and forth with people and in a room with people that are able to discuss these types of issues. It's a good thing. In the next hour, I'm going to be joined by former Congressman David Bonnier. He's the chairman of American Rights at Work. He's going to be joining us from Michigan, and we are going to be talking about the fact that a whole lot of unions seem to be going by the wayside. David Bonnier, former congressman and chairman of American Rights at Work. He's going to be joining us from Mount Clemens, Michigan in the next hour. Don't go nowhere. We ain't done here.
Power. Nobody is going to give it to you.
have peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I remember saying that progress is being made. If you take a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, there's no progress.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. A suicide bomber blasted a U.S. Marine convoy in Fallujah. There are some casualties. We don't have details yet. Iraq's new leader is due at the White House in about an hour. ABC's Ann Compton is there.
In contrast to Iraq's deadly violence, Liz, President Bush wants to show that democracy is alive. Prime Minister Ibrahim al-Jafari comes here 1 year after the U.S. handed over sovereignty. White House strategist Dan Bartlett tells ABC News Iraqis are succeeding.
They want to defend themselves, and what we have is a strategy for that to happen. But there are going to be tough fighting in the days ahead.
Jafari says he agrees with President Bush that a U.S. military withdrawal will be welcome, but not until Iraqi forces are better trained. Liz?
A father and son are behind bars on Aruba, among five men held but not charged in the Natalie Holloway case. The Alabama teen vanished on a senior trip 3 weeks ago, and the father of the Dutch teen held?
The specific accusations against him will become more clear as we are further along in his case, his piece, his part in this investigation.
Marianne Cruz with the prosecutor's office. ABC's Jeffrey Kaufman is there with more.
Police here have been getting help from the FBI and a Dutch forensics team, and now more help is arriving. A group of volunteer search experts from Texas who will be bringing with them side scan sonar to scour the waters around the island. They will also be bringing with them cadaver dogs.
ABC's Jeffrey Kaufman. No runaway history, no sign of abduction. The search goes on for three boys missing since Wednesday night in Camden, New Jersey. They are 5, 6, and 11 years old.
We have no reason to suspect foul play, but we're not ruling it out.
Edwin Figueroa is the police chief in Camden. An army of police and volunteers is looking for the boys who were last seen playing in a yard. A police dog led searchers to a nearby river, but there was no sign of the boys. This is ABC News.
I was biting into a spare rib when Uncle Ernie dropped his chopsticks. I'd seen that look before. It was heartburn. Before you could say duck sauce, I handed him Pepcid Complete. Only Pepcid Complete works on heartburn in two ways. It starts to neutralize acid on contact and keeps heartburn from coming back all day or all night. In no time, Uncle Ernie was back in Mooshu heaven. Pepcid Complete. Just one and heartburn's done. Use as directed.
As a small business owner, doing several things all at the same time is just another day at the office. So Sam's Club offers the option of doing two things at once. Buying items you need for your business, while at the same time buying items you need for your home. When you shop at Sam's Club, you get the same everyday low cost on items for your home as you do on items for your business. You've got a lot going on. Count on us to help you get it done. Sam's Club. We are in business for small business.
A lion and tiger bit a boy in Little Falls, Minnesota. It happened when the owner opened the cage.
When you have two large lions in a wire-meshed old-fashioned corn crib, that's not anywhere near secure. Not for the power that these animals have.
He's a neighbor. The animals are among 11 big cats registered to the same man. The boy is in critical condition. The place to be last night?
The street party in San Antonio lasted until the early hours of the morning.
And I'm proud to be from San Antonio.
Even some fireworks lit up the skies over downtown as thousands of ecstatic fans gathered to celebrate the NBA championship.
Oh, God, it made my night. That's right. That's fine.
Like with previous San Antonio championship celebrations downtown, police reported no serious problems. Jim Forsythe, ABC News, San Antonio.
The Spurs beat the Pistons in Game 7. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning, I'm Rich LaCroix with a WGNU News update for this 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, Missouri public health officials are reporting this year's first human case of the West Nile virus in the state. A 70-year-old man from Adair County in northeastern Missouri died June 14th. Officials say the man had other medical problems, but the mosquito-borne virus will most likely be listed as a contributing factor in his death. The man worked outdoors and reportedly traveled to many areas of the state, so it's uncertain where he was infected. St. Louis County may soon be smoke-free. The St. Louis County Council's Justice and Health Committee next week will get their first look at the proposed county smoking ban. Councilman Kurt Odenwald says although there are some exceptions in the bill, every bar and restaurant will have to go smoke-free if the bill passes. The bill exempts casinos, bowling alleys, private membership clubs, and the smoking lounges at Lambert Airport. The full council could vote on the matter as soon as July 5th. A benefit for the Stray Rescue of St. Louis will give dogs and their owners a chance to get out and have some fun this weekend. Vicki Sense, the owner of Three Dog Bakery, says this weekend's sixth annual ice cream social will include games, refreshments, a pet psychic, and even a pet caricaturist.
We set it up very much like a school carnival where we have tents out in the field north of our store. You buy tickets. Tickets are $1 each. And then you spend those tickets on various activities.
The event will take place this Sunday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the field next to Three Dog Bakery, which is located at Interstate 170 and Ladue Road. All proceeds benefit the Stray Rescue of St. Louis, which helps find home for stray animals. For more information, call 314-726-1674. And finally this hour, so-called superbugs are lurking in some seemingly unlikely places for a long stint of time. So say U.S. researchers, who found drug-resistant strains of certain bacteria can be detected weeks later in some settings. They say a strain of staph can survive under acrylic fingernails for 8 weeks or longer. Computer keyboard covers can harbor the bacteria for 6 weeks, while it can be detected 5 days later on bed linens. Officials at Ecolab, a sanitation services company, say the findings demonstrate the need for vigilant hand washing and environmental disinfection in healthcare settings to curb the spread of bacteria. The findings were presented in Atlanta at a meeting of the American Society for Microbiology. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Blake and Davis Realtors. Interested in buying or selling a home? Call Rose Getz at Blake and Davis Realtors. You'll get a real hometown advantage with their e-advantage. Excellence, expertise, and experience, all at Blake and Davis. That's a look at the news up to 8 o'clock this Friday morning. I'm Rich LaCroix for WGNU News. More local news comes your way in 1 hour here on Radio 920. Now here's Howard Morton with another look at traffic.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Walmart. Eastbound 70 between 94 and the Blanchett Bridge. Major road construction. Two left lanes are closed. Traffic is slow approaching 94. The work zone will shift this weekend to the right, leaving only the two left lanes open for through traffic. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and Watson. Everything's running smoothly. Northbound 55 between Germania and Lafayette. No problems to report. Northbound 270 at Marshall Road is slow. Eastbound 40 between 170 and Hanley looks for slow volume there. Westbound 270 between 111 and the Canal Bridge. It is slow as well. Westbound 255 from Telegraph all the way into Lima Ferry. Expect normal traffic for your 8 o'clock commute. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Your bridge approaches look like this. Westbound 5570 from Tudor Avenue all the way onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Expect slow traffic, especially in the right lanes. Westbound 64 at 5570 split. Everything's running smoothly there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side all the way into Laclede's Landing. Look for normal traffic this hour. Northbound Hampton at Berthold, there's a report of an accident. The right lane is blocked and traffic is back up to near 44. Northbound Bell Fountain at Real Avenue, look for an injury accident. There's a short backup this hour. Northbound Route 109 at 44, look for road construction. Right lane is backing up as traffic is backing up as the right lane is closed. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Walmart. That shopping list can look mighty ferocious. Fight back with one-stop shopping at Walmart Supercenters with services like Tire and Lube Express. Getting everything your family needs at the Walmart price has never been easier. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Sunday. Hot today, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-90s. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-70s. Moving on to Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-90s. Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 70s. And then on Sunday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 80 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 79, both under clear, hazy conditions. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. Our number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget, we broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. And a really cool thing, we are archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. That's whiterosesociety.org. So if you missed an hour, go get an hour. Real easy at whiterosesociety.org, archived daily. I one of the things that I talk about on the show all the time is that it's so hard to find good news. It's hard to find good news. Apparently, there has, as of today, over 10,000 workers in America have been fired or discriminated against for demonstrating support for a union. Why is that? Does that speak to the time that we find ourselves in? Does that speak to the quality of laws that we have protecting union workers, union supporters? Does that speak to the attitude that we don't need unions anymore, and then that's a permissible group to discriminate against? What's going on? I have joining me this morning David Bonnier, former congressman and currently chairman of American Rights at Work. He's joining us from Mount Clemens, Michigan. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
What's happening? Why are 10,000 workers in America being fired or discriminated against for demonstrating support for a union? Where are we in this nation with our attitude about unions?
Well, that 10,000 number, just to start with, Liz, is a number just this year. It's on average, in the last few years, it's been 23,000 workers fired illegally or discriminated against on their jobs illegally. And that's been determined by the National Labor Relations Board. That doesn't count the thousands of other workers out there who give up on their jobs, who are fired from their jobs, who don't contest it to the National Labor Relations Board. So it's a growing problem. Every 23 minutes in this country, somebody is discriminated against or illegally fired from their job in this country. It's happening, to answer your question specifically, because several factors. Number one, the law is not enforced anymore, and the law is weak. It's been weakened since it's been invented in 1935, the National Labor Relations Act. Number two, there's a huge industry out there called, we call it the union busting industry. They spend millions and millions of dollars. They are involved in about 75% of all organizing campaigns across the country. And these are mostly law firms that come in and bend the law, oftentimes advise illegally their employer on how to keep a union out. And it's a huge industry in America today. Thirdly, the progressive community outside of the worker movement has lost sight of what historically the labor movement has done for workers. And it's, you know, A. Philip Randolph once said that justice isn't a given, it's exacted, you've got to take it. It's something that you've got to keep fighting for. And unfortunately, the so-called progressive movement in this country hasn't made it a priority, and the fight back has not been what it should be to protect workers' rights in this country.
And when we talk about the progressive component to that, is that why we're seeing what we're seeing in Washington, D.C.? Is that also a reflection of that lack of fight back?
I would say yes. Even in the Democratic community in Washington, there is not the understanding, the history, or the fight for workers' rights. In order for workers, we know 42 million workers would love to have a union if they could, belong to a union if they could in this country. 42 million additional people. They can't. They're blocked for the variety of reasons that I've mentioned to you. And in order for that, for us to challenge that, you've got, the labor movement can't do it by itself, obviously. The union density has shrunk from 33-34% when I was a young boy growing up in Detroit, now down to 13%. So how do you change that? You've got to do it with a coalition of people. You got to do it, actually, the way they did it in Missouri back in 1978 when they beat back the Right to Work initiative back then. They put together a coalition of people. It's got to be not only worker movement, it's got to be the civil rights movement. Included in this could be the environmental movement, the religious movement. All the progressive pieces have to come together and understand it. And I formed an organization with some others 2.5 years ago called American Rights at Work. And our purpose is to educate not just workers but these concentric circles of progressives around the country about what's going on here. Because if I could just go on for 1 second, and I know I'm talking a little too long here. Because what's going on, this has been a concerted effort by the far right in America, not only to break unions and enhance corporate America around the country, but by doing so, they are breaking the political back of the progressive movement. So it's a twofer for them. The National Right to Work, we call it For Less Committee, and their allies have been at this now since 1940, and they've gotten very good at it. They have huge...
No, that's a long time.
They've been at it a long time. Mm-hmm. They have deep pockets. The National Right to Work For Less Committee has a $15 million budget, plus they have their tentacles into a lot of talk radio, a lot of think tanks.
But and they're also racking up a lot of wins, too, because that inspires groups to continue on. If you win.
If you win. People like a winner.
Mm-hmm.
And I can... You know, I can feel that deeply this morning as my Detroit Pistons lost last night.
Feel you pain.
But I'm staying with them. They were really were fabulous. But anyway, I want to get off the subject. But we think we can turn this around. We know we can turn it around because we think once the American people understand what kind of discrimination is going on and how difficult it is to organize and how the pendulum has swung completely the other way, I think they'll bring some justice back into the system.
But Congressman, when you say that you are certain that there are millions of Americans that would like to be a part of a union but can't, how do you measure that?
Well, we know that from a poll that was done by Peter Hart, public poll that was done nationally, and it's only about 3 or 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So we know people want to join a union, and why wouldn't they? You get better pay. You get a voice at work.
I hear
you get
that.
Better benefits.
I hear that, but let me give you an example of something that happened here in St. Louis.
Sure.
We had the privatization of our school board, and we were out there fighting against that you shouldn't be spending millions of dollars on a district that you say is broke to bring in these corporate execs that don't know anything about running a school board. There was one group of individuals that belonged to a union that fought back. They kind of shut the schools down, the school engineers. They shut the schools down and they got their deal cut the way that they wanted to get the cut. The other unions were all missing in action on this. We didn't have our custodian unions in on it. We didn't have the teachers union fighting the way that the teachers union was supposed to be fighting. And at a school board meeting last week, the deal that the engineers cut with the school board, the new budget is out and the engineers were told that their jobs would probably be privatized, and they said, well, we have a deal. And the attorney for the school board said, oh, no, the engineer said, we had a contract. And the attorney for the school board looked them in the face and said, that wasn't a contract. That was just a deal that we had, and we don't have to adhere to that. And I was expecting, one would think in a union town like or in a union state like Missouri, everybody would be up, and all unions would be up in arms by that statement, because that means that they weren't dealing in good faith. They have no intention of dealing in good faith. And if you can take out this union, you can privatize and take out other unions. I haven't heard the uproar.
Well, you know, I don't know about that particular situation,
but
it sounds like it should be an uproar. It sounds like there's needed leadership to come together and coalesce together. Well, you know, different folks from different unions need to band together. I mean,
and I guess that's my point, my question and my concern, that how do, if unions don't band together around something like that, how, and union members who know the benefits of being in a union, how do we expect that other people are going to join in on this battle as well?
Well, I hope other people will join in for a variety of reasons. Number one, that it's a right to associate. You have a right in this country to associate. It's part of the principles of rights, the right to religion. We have a right to free speech, presumably. We have a right to a fair trial. We have a right to associate. But what's happening in America is the right to associate at probably the most important place during the day for most people at their workplace.
Where people spend their most time.
Most time,
mm-hmm,
is being denied, and denied at an egregious level. In fact, we are so bad at allowing people to come together and form unions in this country that the International Labor Organization, which is an arm of the UN, said that we are, out of the 177 countries in the United Nations, we're ranked in enforcing our labor law in the bottom 20%. That's how bad it's gotten in the United States today. Every 23 minutes, somebody is discriminated against illegally or fired in this country. And so what we're proposing is that we do something about it. If you don't have a right to associate, Liz, you won't be able to come together with people and gain the right to free speech or a fair trial or the freedom of religion. And if you already have those freedoms, which we do here for the most part, you are not going to be able to retain them. The first thing that a dictator will do like Pinochet in Chile or Hitler in Germany, is get rid of their right to association. And that is what is happening at the workplace, and it's affecting the progressive movement, as I said, enormously, because I'm a progressive, I'm a Democrat. The Democrats haven't won a right to work, I call it a right to work for less state. These are states that have these laws that basically inhibit the right to join unions. We have not won a right to work state presidentially in this election, nor did we win one in the last election, with one exception to Iowa. We barely won that. So in the last two presidential elections, there's about 23 right to work for less states. Basically, the Democrats have gotten wiped out because they don't have in place a worker movement that can counter politically, educationally, and all the other pieces that go into making a winning campaign.
Does that mean that the Democratic Party, or does that suggest that the Democratic Party is has been co-opted or consists of people that are closer on the line of Republican lights as opposed to the Democratic strongs?
It means exactly that in many ways, unfortunately. Now, I'm talking about all Democrats, but too often the members of the Democratic Party running for office today have got bought into the corporate alone, the corporate piece.
Well, I mean, you can see that in the vote on the bankruptcy bill.
That's a good example.
How could any Democrat have supported the bankruptcy bill?
That's exactly right. And we know that the vast majority of people who file bankruptcy, individuals, do so because of health reasons that really cause chaos in their family and no fault of their own. So that's a good example. There are others. And if you look at campaign contributions, you know, they say follow the money, it'll tell you the story.
And back to assessing the embracing of union and therefore the embracing of this concern that people that want to talk about or join a union shouldn't be discriminated against. There are a lot of people out there that would make the argument that kind of like the same statement that we've just been making about people don't feel that their unions fight for them the way that they used to fight for them. People believe that their unions, that the unions out there have gotten kind of big business. Like, I know as a person of African descent that a lot, from the state of Michigan, that there were a lot of these blue-collar Democrats that union members that supported Ronald Reagan. So there are arguments out there and examples out there of people that are kind of disenchanted with some of the actions that they've seen from their union, and the same kind of disenchantment that we have with many people in the Democratic Party, that they don't appear to be fighting for their interests.
Well, that's correct. But for every one of those, you can always find people that are out there leading the charge. It wasn't for labor, the Democratic Party basically wouldn't exist structurally, financially, and in many other ways. I mean, they're out there doing good work, trying to organize, trying to provide a better life for people, trying to get them involved in. That doesn't always happen. There are a variety of different kinds of unions and their efficiency and performance and ratios and all that, the same as there are in corporate America. But for the most part, organized labor and unions have been a very positive influence on the democratic process in our country and certainly on the economic well-being of workers. All you have to do is look at the numbers. They get better wages, much more benefits. I could give you the numbers right now. They're considerably better. One example, the telecommunications industry. When we were growing up, there was a big fight in the telecommunications industry. These are people who work for the phone companies and that, to unionize them. And they became unionized. They became, and then those jobs paid very, very well. Within the last 10 years, more specifically, that industry, the telecom industry, has been shifting to cable more so each and every day. So the biggest cable company in the country today is Comcast. They do the same kind of work. Their workers basically do the exactly same kind of work as people do for AT&T and for all the other phone, local wireless and long-distance companies and cellular companies. Same kind of work. Yet Comcast pays about a third less, fights unionization. So that whole, they're really the Walmart of the communications industry. So what I'm saying to you is that unionization is a really an important part of a chance for a middle class life in this country, and we're losing it because of the inability to organize today and the fact that not enough people care about it.
We have to take a break. I'm talking to Congressman David Bonier, former congressman and now chairman of American Rights at Work. He's joining us from Mount Clemens, Michigan. And we're talking about 10,000 workers being fired a year for before supporting unions. This is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. I'll be back. We have many questions to ask, and we'll get to some of your calls here at 1-877-920-WGNU or 454-0400 or email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Westbound 40 at Clarkson and Olive. Look for an accident on the right shoulder, reported to be minor at this hour. Eastbound 70 between 94 and Blanchett Bridge, major road construction. Two left lanes are closed. Traffic is slow just east of 94. Traffic will be diverted as the work zone will be shifted this weekend to the right, leaving only the two left lanes open for through traffic. Eastbound 44 between Chrysler and Sappington, look for no problems to report. Northbound 55 between Loughborough and 44, everything's on the move. Northbound 270 between Gravois and Big Bend is flowing freely. Eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Hanley, look for a very heavy volume this hour. Westbound 270 from Illinois to the Route 3 to the Canal Bridge. Everything is moving steady after an earlier stall. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge all the way to Lindbergh. Look for no problems to report. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Big Bend. Look for slow traffic this hour. Your bridges look like this. Westbound 5570 at Tudor all the way onto the Poplar Street Bridge is slow in the right lanes. Westbound 64 to 5570 split. Everything is on the move. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side into Laclede's Landing. Everything is moving steady this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. This month only, McDonald's fries could mean a Cardinals prize. Free or discounted tickets, road trips, seats from Busch Stadium, and more. Over 3 million prizes and offers. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Hot, mostly sunny today with a high in the mid-90s. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-70s for Saturday. Partly cloudy skies, high in the mid-90s. Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 70s. And then on Sunday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 82 degrees under mostly clear skies with haze. Lambert Field is reporting 80 and clear skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, your weather, and a final look at traffic in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Are you looking to get your transmission fixed? Well, take it on over to Roy's Transmission, where you get great quality, great price, and great service. Some transmission shops will tell you you have to tear your transmission down to fix it. No, you don't. Take it on over to Roy's, and he will hook your transmission up, run a diagnostic on it, and tell you what's wrong with it and how much it will cost to fix it. Roy's Transmission, 5524 Riverview. That's 5524 Riverview. Or give him a call at 383-2019. 383-2019. Roy's Transmission.
Shopping is more than just spending money on necessities. It is a truly energizing experience. I plan on recharging my shopping batteries by attending the St. Clair Fine Arts and Crafts Fair, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights, Friday, June 24th through Sunday, June 26th. I can shop to my heart's content for fine jewelry, framed works of art, clothing, quilts, and sculptures. Then I can check out new original artwork, candles, home decor, and photographic arts. I especially like meeting my favorite artisans and crafters and the top independent vendors in the area. I've even heard there will be exotic animals for sale. Do join me, won't you, at the St. Clair Fine Arts and Crafts Fair, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights, Friday, June 24th through Sunday, June 26th. Sponsored by Custom Cage Works and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more information at www.spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
Join WGNU today as we broadcast live from the Fine Arts and Craft Fair at St. Clair Square from 10 a.m. this morning until 6 p.m. this evening. It's Radio Free St. Louis on location at the mall.
New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Shall get them that's not, shall lose. So the Bible says, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I'm talking to David Bonnier, former congressman and now chairman of American Rights at Work. He's joining us from Mount Clemens, Michigan. Congressman, welcome back. Let me get to a call here. Rick, you have a question for our guest, Congressman Bonnier.
Yes, Congressman. One of the worst days of my working life was when I got promoted. I then became an official member of management. No overtime. It took me 5 years to get paid the same amount of money I did when I was hourly. Well, my main question is this, Mr. Bonnier. It's going to be so difficult to change these labor laws. Right now, you can change the H-1B visa laws and crack down on immigration, which is devastating to the working class. I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
Thanks for your call.
Well, I would agree with the H-1B concerns that you have, because there are many, many workers in this country today who are capable and competent and qualified to have jobs that are being reserved for folks that are coming into this country. But I think, you know, we've got to also be very careful about the whole question on immigration. The immigrants who come to this country are a very important part of making the country work in many ways, as we, I think, all are aware, and we've got to be fair on both ends of this issue. So I understand your concern with that, but the H-1B, for those who aren't familiar with it, is a program that was put in place by the Congress that reserves thousands of jobs, hundreds of thousands of jobs, actually, for mostly that started off in the telecommunications area, high-tech area. And what we're finding is, of course, that many people here that can fill those jobs. And the reason that this program went into effect, as it turns out, is that they can get away with paying the corporate folks a lot less than paying our workers here in this country. They don't have to worry about the rights of these workers oftentimes, because they're not citizens, they're nationals here. And so it's a real problem on many different fronts.
Let's talk about the law component of this, the National Labor Relations Act. We need that act to be enforced. We need that act to be strengthened in order to, I mean, that's an important component of the ability to get people to fight for this.
Right.
How do we do that?
Well, there is a number of ways to do that. I mean, for instance, we were talking about earlier your concern about the unions not rising up and taking a position on the local education issue that you raised at the beginning of the show. But, you know, in St. Louis and in Missouri, there has been an effort to take on Governor Blunt, who has gutted worker compensation and who's trying to introduce right to work for less legislation. The Jobs with Justice folks in St. Louis and in Missouri, this is an organization that fights for justice on the jobs. They came together with other local community organizations, and they took on the governor and the legislature, and that's not happened yet. The right to work has been stuck in committee. So they've done a great job with that. So you have.
I understand that, but then I also have to express my frustration with the Democratic Party. We wouldn't have Matt Blunt as governor if the Democratic Party hadn't pulled out and didn't support Claire McCaskill and give her the money that she needed to beat this guy.
Yeah.
So there's a political component of that as well.
Sure.
You know, the we had a chance to take the governorship, and the Democrats didn't give her the money that she needed.
That she needed to win. Well, there's a problem, yeah. But to get back to your question, what we need to do to deal with the law is 70 years old. It was established in 1935. And so American Rights at Work, we're having a major conference next year at Harvard, actually, inviting all top academics to come and suggest ways to make the law work better for people in this country. And right now, the law isn't enforced. 25% of all union organizing drives in this country, people get fired illegally. You know, and they do that. The union busters come in. They suggest that oftentimes. People will get fired for trying to organize. And that sends a very chilling message, as you can imagine, throughout the workforce. And oftentimes those elections are won by the corporate people and for understandable reasons. That kind of activity should be illegal. But it's happening with more and more frequency. And even if a union effort is successful at a workplace, let's say they vote to join a union, or oftentimes the company won't negotiate, or they will appeal the election results. And the appeal process to the National Labor Relations Board can take up to a year. If they lose there again, the companies lose there again, then they appeal it to the appellate court. It can take another year or 2 years. It's not unusual for this to drag on for 3-4 years. And by that time, people lose interest. If these set of standards on the election process were applied to the political world, it would be an absolute outrage. We at American Rights at Work, we hired a fellow by the name of Gordon Laffer from the University of Oregon to do a study and compare the NLRB, National Labor Relations Board, election process for joining a union at a workplace with the standards we have in this country, or presumably should have in this country, for free and fair elections. And he came up with a recommendation basically that said that we have a corrupt system that in trying to elect have free and fair elections at the workplace. There's no access, equal access to those people who are going to vote. The corporate people have one-on-one meetings in which their boss will come in with you individually in a room and tell you why you should not vote for a union and intimidate you in a really incredible way. There are bribes given. People are coerced. People are fired. People are told at their work site, well, you know, if you all get together and you decide you're going to have this union, we may just end up in Mexico or take these jobs to China. That happens all the time. And it's not a fair system, and it's got to be changed.
Let me get to another caller. Carphone, Scott.
Yeah, I think a big part of the problem is that the unions basically have been busted. And they're basically dead because, you know, the people have believed the Republican corporate propaganda, but I think the Democrats, I think they apologized too quickly.
I think so too. I think so too.
Yeah, I mean, you got Karl Rove saying something stupid, and instead of apologizing, he says we're gonna fight, man. We're gonna, you know. But Durbin, you know, he says the truth, and then he has to apologize. I mean, I know part of that is because the boss is stupid. But, you know, I mean, the boss doesn't respect you when you apologize that quickly.
I agree with you. There needs to be much more fight, much more toughness. I don't know if you may not recall, but when I was the whip of the party in Washington, my chores was, after the Republicans took power, I was the chief antagonist for Newt Gingrich.
Mm-hmm. Newt Gingrich.
And my job was to put him on the midnight train to Georgia and send him back home. Well, it took me 4 years with some help from other people, of course. We eventually ended up doing it. And you got it. This is a tough business, fighting for rights. I mean, the rights of workers didn't come easy. At the turn of the previous century, you know, when we didn't have worker comp or unemployment comp or health care or child labor laws or any of the things that we enjoy today. People had struggled to get them. They marched, they demonstrated, they were beaten, they went to jail, some died for it. And the same thing happened in the 30s when particularly industrial workers really fought to get the right to join unions. Now, we're in the same position today, and people are going to have to decide whether they're going to get up and fight for this stuff or they're going to let it just dribble all away.
Thank you,
Scott. Yeah, are they going to suffer?
Thank you, Scott. Right. And again, this comes back to the same point, Congressman, that our elected officials, our elected leaders, have a responsibility to lead the charge on this.
They do,
and we're not seeing this. And,
well,
and
they're, that's well,
we're not seeing enough of this.
Let me just jump in there because there is a very important reform. It's called the Employee Free Choice Act. It had,
and I need you to hold that thought, please, because we need to take another break. I'm talking to David Bonnier, Congressman David Bonnier, and he's now the chairman of American Rights at Work. He's joining us from Mount Clemens, Michigan. We're talking about how American workers are being punished for supporting a union. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with us.
Another day. I don't care what others say. They think we don't listen anyway. Time has come today.
This hour's Wake Up Call Global News Update can be heard in its entirety next Friday at this hour.
Something that put any stress on me.
You get to see inside of the person before you see the person.
Imagine a process of finding the love of your life that doesn't require writing a witty paragraph about yourself for the world to see.
It wasn't about trying to be competitive with other people.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Imagine a place where you're matched based on who you really are.
You're not basing it on, you know, am I at the right bar at the right time?
With eHarmony, it felt more like people were truly interested in who I was as a person.
If you're ready for a better way to find your true love, graduate to eHarmony.com. Get your eHarmony personality profile and see for yourself how eHarmony.com can help you find the love of your life.
That term soulmate actually came to mean something. It was just like absolute magic, like no other experience I've ever had in my life.
Walking, for most of us, is something we take for granted. Use your gift of walking Saturday, June 25th, at the Steinberg Rink in Forest Park. Registration is at 9 a.m. The walk begins at 10 a.m. Distance is 3.1 miles.
It's a pleasure to welcome to Sports Overdrive, JoJo White.
Not only from a player standpoint, but from a fan standpoint, I think it was handled very, very poorly. And in terms of the NBA, I didn't think the fines were extensive enough.
We welcome Mike Liu.
You know, there's a responsibility that comes with the position of having the luxury of playing in the National Hockey League. That's not there in the game anymore. And it's not a negative. It's just the evolution of society and hockey to a certain extent.
Sports Overdrive, weeknights from 7 to 8. On Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top 6 appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip, stop at Sears first, and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
What you don't understand, my words might never explain. So I am hoping that I will. Things may not go as you planned. Dark clouds might bring you pain, but I will be in your heart still, telling you don't look down. Don't feast your eyes on things that are on the ground. And if it gets hard to focus when you're traveling on those empty speed of sound, feeling nowhere bound, remember what I told you and don't you dare look down.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm talking to David Bonya, former congressman and chairman of American Rights at Work, joining us from Mount Clemens, Michigan. We're talking about the rights of workers, workers being fired or punished for union support. Congressman, welcome back.
Nice to be back.
And you were saying?
I was saying, actually, I was just listening to that nice introductory music piece and the words don't look down, and we're not looking down. We're looking up, and one of the ways we're looking up is we have legislation that was introduced by Senator Kennedy and then by George Miller in the House that garnered 230 sponsors last Congress and will probably do the same this year, that will change the labor law in this country, that will allow people to form a union through what we call voluntary recognition or card check, where you go to a work site and you get 50% of the people to sign a card and you're on your way and you got a union. You don't have to go through this process of delays, delay, challenge that would take 1, 2, 3 years get a union. The second thing that it would do, it would impose some real penalties on people who illegally fire folks from their jobs. Right now, there really aren't any penalties. The National Labor Relations Board says just post it on your board that you won't do it again. It's ridiculous. and so this will have triple the penalties. And then the third thing that it would do is it would require that you get a contract in a reasonable amount of time, so that once a union is in place, the employer just can't stall at the bargaining table indefinitely, like Comcast does quite often around the country, and then many others. And it would require that you get a first contract within 60 or 90 days.
So in list of what needs to be done first, what do we need to do first? We need to change Congress first? Do we need to get people out in the streets first? Do we need to change the laws first? What do we need?
We need to do all of these pieces, but we have got to educate people about how serious this problem is. We're losing the middle class in huge chunks in this country. I think people understand that now. But they're looking for a way to do something about it. And if they want to be active, go to American Rights at Work. It's American Rights, plural, at atwork.org. That's our website. And you can find ways to get active to take on this battle. And that means coming together with a coalition of people and challenging, whether it's in Missouri and Governor Blunt or it's in Governor Daniels in Indiana, who's also gotten rid of collective bargaining rights for workers there, or whether it's expanding the opportunities for a livable wage like we're engaged in here in Michigan and where we'll be in Ohio and Nevada. There are a lot of good things that are going on, too. You know, even in this terrible climate.
And terrible is not big enough of a word.
Well, it's
pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
Bad
climate. We organized under this terrible system, a bad system, over 500,000 workers last year. The problem is we're losing huge numbers of manufacturing jobs, as you know, that have left the country in textiles and autos and steel and other things. So while we're still gaining, we're winning at the election process at the work site, we're just losing too much at the other end. So we've got a globalization piece here. What can people do? They can go to our website, get involved with us, come together with your coalitions in your local community and in your state to fight the Governor Blunts and Daniels and others and the Right to Work for Less Committee, who are trying to take away the rights for workers in this country.
And don't the unions face the same challenge that America faces in terms of embracing certain parts of their communities? The unions also have to learn how to ally with people of African descent and Latinos as well to address the globalization that is going on, to address the union issues.
You're absolutely right. That's a huge part of it, and it's been a struggle not only for America but for the union movement as well, as you know, to recognize the diversity in this country, to embrace it, to partner with it, to be part of it, and that's got to be a big part of this effort. There's no question about that.
And let me ask you this, as a former congressman, and I'm certain a historian of how and what happens in our Congress. Have you ever seen anything like this before that's going on in our Congress? Have you ever seen it as bad as it is?
Well, it was pretty tough when I was there right after the Republicans took over the House in 1994.
Yeah, but
now it's been really institutionalized, and it's raw power, and it's as worse as it's ever been. Yeah, but let me say this: as someone who dabbles in history and has a graduate degree in history, this is not uncommon in our national history. There has been times when there has been this kind of acrimony and this kind of intransigence before in the Congress. It doesn't happen often, but we're in a period where it's there now, and it's.
Do you see something different with the American people's response to it? I was talking about a story yesterday where there was a report from Waxman that there was $5 billion put on wooden pallets and dropped off at the airport and carried away in duffel bags in Iraq. And that's insane to me. And people, there doesn't seem to be the fury that one would expect from constituents that things like this are happening.
Well, there should be, because they'll take it away from you. I mean, they restrict your right to associate, then they restrict your right at the ballot box, then they take your right away to bargain collectively, and it's one piece after another, and they're doing it in corrupt ways as well right now, and I think you just illustrated one possible way that they are. They're protecting these union busters who go in and recommend people getting fired illegally. I mean, that's pretty darn onerous.
Yes, it is.
And that's really getting at the heart of what makes a family run, taking away the bread from the breadwinners because they dare to stand up for their constitutional rights to associate and to bargain and to get a decent wage. You work hard in this country, you ought to be paid a decent wage. You get sick, you and your family ought to get health care. You know, you put on a lifetime of work for a company or a state agency, you ought to get a pension that nobody can mess with and take away. And I happen to also believe that if you go out on strike, no scab ought to be able to come and take your job away.
But
those are pretty basic principles of worker justice, and we're losing them, but that doesn't mean that we can't fight back and get them, because we've done that historically before in this country, just a matter of people getting, excuse the word, pissed off and starting to do something about it.
And I want to compliment your congressman there, Congressman John Conyers.
Yeah, John is fabulous.
He is an amazing.
Yeah.
He's an amazing 76-year-old man.
A lot of energy still and passion, and he's doing a great job exposing this debacle in Iraq.
Well, I want to thank you very much, Congressman David Bonier, and now Chairman of American Rights, that's plural, American Rights at Work, and the website is AmericanRightsAtWork.org. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's been nice being with you.
It's a pleasure having you. Listen,
bye-bye.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, the wake-up call. We're going to bring this to an end, but that's all right. We have another good hour coming at us. Don't forget that I will be part of a international panel this weekend at 3:30 to 6 o'clock at the Regional Arts Commission right there on Del Mar, across from the pageant at Del Mar and Skinker. We'll be talking about an extraordinary international issues and how they connect back to our own policies, our own practices, and our own decision-making. You think there's a reason we went to Iraq? And it can be traced to Cuba, it can be traced to Venezuela, it can be traced to Colombia, it can be traced to our policies and practices with Israel. It's all connected, and we're going to be talking about that this week. And in Haiti, don't forget about Haiti, we're going to be talking about that this week. And the American Friends Service Committee is putting on a panel on an international discussion. And I will be part of it. I'll be talking about Venezuela. That's this Sunday from 3:30 to 6 at the Regional Arts Commission right across from the pageant right there at Skinker and Del Mar. I'm Liz Brown. We've got the Healthy Futures coming at us. Stay with me. We'll be back.
Imagine my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches. There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress.
the progress is healing the wound that's below me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Liz White. New information on a suicide attack on U.S. Marines in Fallujah. 5 Marines have been killed, all women. ABC's David Curley has more from Baghdad.
The female Marines were in a large transportation truck on their way to a checkpoint where they searched female Iraqis passing through the gates. On the drive to that checkpoint, a vehicle pulled up alongside and detonated its explosives. The effects were devastating. In addition to the 5 killed, several more Marines were injured, some of them severely, in yesterday's attack, the deadliest day for American women serving in Iraq. David Curley, ABC News, Baghdad.
President Bush meets with Iraq's prime minister at the White House minutes from now, and we're just learning Mr. Bush will give a big speech Tuesday night.
It will be a dramatic prime-time address to the American people about progress in Iraq 1 year after handing over civilian sovereignty. President Bush will deliver the speech from Fort Bragg, North Carolina, military home base for thousands of U.S. troops in Iraq.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. It's more than 3 weeks since an Alabama teenager vanished on a trip to Aruba. ABC's Jim Hickey is there.
The search for Natalie Holloway intensifies with the arrival of the Texas Search and Recovery Team. It will take place, says Director Tim Miller, on land and at sea.
We're going to work 2 boats with side scan sonar around the clock as long as we're here.
The investigation into the girl's disappearance intensifies as well with the arrest of the father of a Dutch teenager already in custody. The prosecutor's office here says the story he told police just didn't check out. Jim Hickey, ABC News, Aruba.
And the search resumes for 3 boys, ages 5, 6, and 11. They've been missing since Wednesday night in Camden, New Jersey. Dogs track the scent of one boy to a river. Searchers found nothing. This is ABC News.
Top 3 reasons I'm painting this weekend. Number 3, my new couch deserves a better backdrop than beige. Number 2, I think soft gold would really open up my office. And number 1, I can paint every room in my house and never feel it in my wallet.
Now through June 29th at the Home Depot, get $5 off 1 gallon cans of Glidden Evermore paint and $20 off 5 gallon buckets by manufacturer mail-in rebate. The Home Depot. You can do it, we can help. Valid in U.S. only. See store for details.
Fuel your excitement and save at the Sea-Doo Full Throttle Summer Event. Get credit of up to $500 in free gas when you buy a Sea-Doo personal watercraft. Or choose financing as low as 6.9% on wave-hopping watercrafts like the Room for 3 RXT, the most powerful personal watercraft on the market. The Sea-Doo Full Throttle Summer Event. It's a gas. Sea-Doo, leave everything else behind. Promotion ends 7/15/05. See dealer for complete offer details. Restrictions and fees may apply.
A hush falls over some towns thanks to a new federal law aimed at quieting trains.
People in Irving, Texas, used to live with these kinds of very loud train horns round the clock. Now it's quiet thanks to new rules that clear the way for local communities to order the train whistles turned off if they provide safety improvements at railroad crossings.
We've been able to improve both the quality of life for the people that live in the neighborhood, and we've also been able to improve safety.
James Klein, transportation director of Irving, Texas, where the community put in new railroad crossing gates to keep cars and pedestrians safe. Vic Ratner, ABC News, Washington.
She's 81, probably a little old to join the Navy, but full of coats, just got a letter inviting her to enlist in the Seabees Reserves. Her husband served in World War II, 2 of her sons in Vietnam. She laughed when she got the letter and said she couldn't wait to get the uniform. I'm Liz White, ABC News.
Good morning. I'm Rich LaCroix with a WGNU News update for this 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, a former star high school quarterback will be spending some so-called shock time in jail for statutory sodomy. A St. Louis County judge sentenced Daryl Jackson yesterday to 120 days in jail and 5 years of probation. Jackson pled guilty in April to 5 counts of statutory sodomy for the molestation of a young girl. Jackson, who led the Webster Groves High School football team to a state title in 2002, left the University of Missouri football team last summer after his legal troubles began. This Sunday, Congressman Russ Carnahan will meet with residents and Jefferson County officials to discuss what he calls a growing epidemic. Carnahan says meth production and use is one of the major issues currently facing Missouri in general and Carnahan's district in particular.
Missouri has the highest number of meth labs in the nation. And Jefferson County leads the nation in meth arrests and seizures. The magnitude of this problem is alarming, and these statistics are not how we want our region to be known around the country.
Sunday's town hall meeting at 3 p.m. at the Fox High School Library will include Jefferson County law enforcement and fire protection officials and medical personnel. Carnahan is asking the community at large to come out to the meeting and give input. City and state officials are hailing the latest piece of the rebirth of downtown St. Louis. Renovations on the Paul Brown Lofts in downtown St. Louis have been completed, and the building is now open. Governor Matt Blunt says this project is compelling evidence that the state historic tax credit works. Construction began on this $53 million project in January of 2004 and was completed ahead of schedule and under budget. The Paul Brown Lofts feature 222 loft-style apartments and 20,000 square feet of retail space. And finally this hour, laughing makes us feel good, but there's another benefit. It may also help us cut a few calories. It's no substitute for an exercise program, but scientists say that laughing for about 15 minutes a day uses up to around 40 calories, the amount in a small piece of chocolate, depending on a person's body weight. Vanderbilt Medical Center scientists say if you do it daily for a year, your mirth could help you shed 4 pounds of girth. In the study, about 50 pairs of students who are friends or couples watched TV comedy clips in a sealed room while their heart rates were monitored and energy use charted. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by your Greater St. Louis Area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, even Toyotas, need periodic attention. And when it's time, make sure you bring it to your local Toyota dealer offering factory-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. That's Toyota confidence. That's the news up to 9 o'clock this Friday morning. I'm Rich LaCroix for WGNU News. More local news comes your way in 1 hour here on Radio 920. Right now, here's Howard Morton with another check on traffic.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at the Sowers traffic and weather. Sowers traffic is sponsored by Blake and Davis Realtors. Eastbound 70 between 94 and the Blanchette Bridge, major road construction. Two left lanes are closed at this hour. No delays at this hour. The work zone will shift this weekend to the right lanes, leaving only the two left lanes open for through traffic. Eastbound 44 between Williams Road and Merrimack River Bridge, everything's running smoothly. Northbound 55 between 67, Lindbergh, and 44, look for no problems there. Northbound 270 between 55 and Manchester, everything's on the move. Westbound 255 from Lee May Ferry, from Coke to Lee May Ferry, no problems to report there. In both directions at 40, Hanley has traffic flowing freely this hour. Westbound 70 between Cass and Madison, there's road construction, the right lane is closed. There's a brief slowdown at this hour. And your bridge stack up like this hour. Westbound 5570 to Poplar Street Bridge, that traffic is flowing freely. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing, everything looks good. A couple of construction notes that you may want to be aware of. Westbound 70 at the Blanchette Bridge, maintenance operations have the right lane closed for repair of navigation lights on the bridge. Northbound Illinois Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge is closed. That exit is closed, and northbound Route 3 ramp to westbound 5570 is closed until late June for deck repairs. The detour is to take eastbound 5570 to 4th Street, then double back onto westbound 5570. There are no delays in that area as well. And then over also over on the east side. Westbound 255 at 157, look for construction having various lane closures going on to replace expansion joints over the Prairie Dumont Diversion Channel. Two lanes will remain open at all times. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Blake and Davis Realtors. Interested in buying or selling a home? Call Janice Davis at Blake and Davis Realtors. You'll get a real hometown advantage with their e-advantage, excellence, expertise, and experience, all at Blake and Davis. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Hot most of this weekend. Hot today, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-90s. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the mid-70s. Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-90s. Saturday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 70s. And Sunday, you guessed it, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under mostly clear skies with haze, we have 83 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 82, and clear conditions with haze as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's Healthy Futures. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Healthy Family, presented by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, reminding you to keep alcohol out of the hands of kids. Learn more at MissouriPrevention.org.
How long is too long for safely storing food in our pantries? Prevention Magazine's July issue has some guidelines. Here's the number one thing to avoid in the pantry: any can of food that is swollen, because any bulge in a can be a sign of bacterial contamination. Otherwise, canned and dried foods are safe to eat, but they lose nutritional value the longer they're stored. Prevention says canned soups, stews, and meats unopened can be stored for 2 to 5 years. Baking soda, sugar, bouillon, pasta, and rice can be kept up to a year. Whole spices up to 2 years. Ground spices and herbs generally about 6 months. Vanilla and other extracts opened up to a year. Unopened for as long as 2 years. Oils that are open can be kept 1 to 3 months. Unopened as long as 6 months. You can't always go by sight or smell. I'm Julie Anderson with The Healthy Family.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Yeah.
It's time once again for Healthy Futures, the weekly radio program that provides you with information on how to take better care of yourself and live a more healthy life. Remember, good health truly is in your own hands. And now, Healthy Futures with Liz Brown and our guest for this week.
Welcome to Healthy Futures. I'm here with Linda McKirkland, Program Director for Healthy Futures. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Very good. Well, let's start at the beginning where we always start.
Like to say just good morning to the audience and to, again, recognize the sponsors of our show, which is Support a Child International and Eternity Deli. And the show is basically geared to helping people to understand that they can take control of their own health.
Very good. And we have some special things that we're going to talk about this morning.
Absolutely. Today we just want to devote the whole show to the Healthy Futures program.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing the show, and it dawned on me that I really hadn't talked about the Healthy Futures program and what we've done. The whole idea of Healthy Futures and the programming that was conceptualized came out of the desire for my own health,
mm-hmm,
and the health of my family. And simultaneously, when that was going on, the obesity epidemic was rising up in the newspaper and the media across the way. And fortunately, during that time, the Missouri Foundation for Health was calling for proposals for work in the area of childhood obesity and diabetes, diabetes in particular. And we kind of married each other,
mm-hmm,
at that time. So in a nutshell, that's how the program was born. It came out of my own and my family's own personal desires to really take control of our health. So the Missouri Foundation for Health has been very instrumental in allowing us to fulfill this mission. And again, today is a day that we're giving thanks for the Missouri Foundation for Health and all of our partners for, and the St. Louis community at large, for allowing us to do this great work with their children.
And let's talk about some of the work that you've done, because you got involved with this because you saw this epidemic of obesity, this,
mm-hmm,
just amazing place that we find ourselves in with our children and with our citizens out here. Talk to us about how many people you serve, how many children you serve, the things that, because I think,
right,
I think that people really need to be made aware of how much impact that Healthy Futures is having out here.
Absolutely. First of all, in terms of, I want to run through the community partners that we work with that has helped us make this possible. Of course, the Missouri Foundation for Health, Support a Child International, Eternity Deli, Divine Universal Sisterhood, the Black Women's Health Network, BJC Children's Outreach Program, the Ferguson Florissant 21st Century Learning Program, the American Heart Association, American Diabetes Association, the St. Louis City Division of Recreation, Believers Temple World Fellowship, and the HICNE program, which is a nutrition program with the St. Louis City Health Department. Those were some of our major players,
mm-hmm,
in the last 2 years of the project. And just to give a brief overview of what Healthy Futures is, it's a nutrition and fitness program for children.
Mm-hmm.
We have an adult component, but the thrust of it is for children. There are three components to Healthy Futures. Number one, we have done over 200 hours of community education and awareness, where we've actually gone out into the communities to heighten the awareness about the incidence of diabetes and obesity, especially amongst children.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we've reached a lot of people, and particularly with the radio and the TV media access that we've had over the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
We also have an after-school component. We call it the BG5, a nutrition and fitness program, or we call it fitness and learning. And it's our way in a 16-session program to educate and train children on how to make healthy lifestyle choices.
Mm-hmm. Like, so what are some of the things that you teach them how to do?
First of all, we teach them about their esteem for them, for themselves, for themselves first, and then esteem for their bodies. and then esteem for their health. And then out of that, we can begin to talk about what are good, healthy foods to eat. We call it, you know, foods you eat all the time.
So if you don't see value in you,
yes,
then how are you going to think that it matters what food you put into you?
Absolutely.
And let me just ask you about the esteem issue, because I'm curious about this. How healthy are our children with regard to their self-esteem?
Not healthy at all. And all we have to do, it doesn't
take... What do you see? How do you know that?
It doesn't take rocket science, mm-hmm, to just look around you, look at your own children, look at your relatives, look at the children in your neighborhood, and look at the children that you work with, and you can hear and look at the way they dress, the things that they say, the things that they say to each other, and you can really understand the negative impact that the children have on themselves and on each other, mm-hmm, because they're not feeling good about themselves. And it's not just the overweight children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's children across the board. And, of course, when you add on an issue like health issues like diabetes and being overweight, that just compounds the problem.
And because, I mean, it's easy, I guess, to understand that a child that is overweight, mm-hmm, may have self-esteem issues.
Absolutely.
But it's across the board.
It's across the board because we have children in the program. And Healthy Futures, I like to say, is not a treatment program. It's a preventive program. So when we go out into the schools to do the medical screenings where we do the blood pressures, we do height and weight and calculate their body mass index. We have a nutrition assessment, and we also do glucose levels. And when we go out to the schools, we identify the children who have risk factors, but the children who are actually in the program are a combination of both.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're finding that a lot of the children that we screen, they have at least one of the 13 risk factors that we factor from a nutrition program out of Georgetown University.
So how important is it to have parents involved in this, your program? Is there a parent component?
Yes, there's a parent component. Again, that's one of the components to our program that we would really like to strengthen.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't think parents understand a lot of times the program. We get forms, mm-hmm, signed from parents,
mm-hmm,
but I'm not sure whether we always make the strong connection, mm-hmm, between what their child is really involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are strongly encouraging parents to be a part of the Healthy Futures program, because we can only do part of the work with, mm-hmm, the children. We need the parents, because their values, their thinking, their reinforcement
mm-hmm,
is going to make it easier for the children. And the program targets 8 to 11-year-olds. We did that in the first year. In the second year, we did 4th and 5th graders. And we target this middle childhood because it's proven that this is the time when puberty is setting in. So you already have a natural fat distribution.
Mm-hmm.
You got chemical hormone things.
You got crazy
You got confusion getting ready to happen. You know, things are happening to the body, and the kids are like, oh, wow, I mean, what is this?
What is going on?
That wasn't there
yesterday. Okay, yes.
Yeah, so, and then again, coupled with the poor eating habits of our children, which has aggravated the whole overweight issue, because they're not eating proper things,
mm-hmm,
foods, and they're not getting physical exercise. So we're finding that age range, they're starting to get a little overweight at that time. And not only that, they're starting even earlier than 8-year-olds.
And I just want to remind everybody that Healthy Futures Day is June 25th. That's today.
It's tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Wohl Recreation Center at 1515 North Kings Highway at Martin Luther King. It's going to be free. There's going to be rides and prizes and food and music and entertainment and health screenings. And will parents be able to sign their kids up? How does that work?
Right. When you come to the Wohl Center, there will be a registration table for everybody who comes. And once they're registered, then it's free, and mm-hmm. they can go to the seminars that we're going to be having. Mm-hmm. And basically, Liz, it's not a structured day mm-hmm. like that. We have a lot of things going on.
Rides
we have
and
entertainment,
prizes.
Mm-hmm. Rides and prizes, carnival games,
mm-hmm.
Also activities, actual fun and game activities for the children.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have jazzercise, tai chi, karate, and we're putting these activities together not as a talent show,
mm-hmm.
but we're putting them together to just show people the multitude of ways that they can stay physically active and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not just going to the gym.
That's right.
It's not just going to the park.
Mm-hmm.
You can go out and be a part of these groups, and these groups are going to be there. We have hip-hop dancers.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be there, and if parents decide that they want their children to be a part of these activities, they can also, enroll them at the same time, too.
Now, when you put the kids through the programs, and by the way, how many kids have you taken through your program, Healthy Futures?
We've actually screened 770.
Mm-hmm.
The actual number of children who've gone through the after-school component is 390. It's 390.
390. Now, how do you measure the success of the kids going through the program?
What we do, we have we pre and post test them.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, so that's one of our measuring
mm-hmm.
tools.
Yeah, and you pre and post test them for what?
We pre just for what they know.
Okay.
And their attitudes about healthy eating
mm-hmm.
and physical activity
mm-hmm.
and how they see themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then we measure. We do a baseline when they first come in. Then they go through the whole 16-session program, and then we post-test them at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And simultaneously during the program, the children have to recall the items that they've eaten for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And we've been able to see an increase in the number of fruits and vegetables that they are even recalling
mm.
or even wanting to document that they're putting on their recall sheets.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another way that we are measuring from the time they come in, from we're seeing children who don't eat vegetables at all to children at the end of the program at least putting some vegetables down on their plates and saying, okay, I ate some corn
mm-hmm.
or I had some sweet peas
mm-hmm.
or I ate some salad or I experienced the pomegranate,
mm-hmm.
you know, something. And that's another thing that we do. We provide healthy snacks, and we try to do especially foods that they just wouldn't necessarily come across.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, Liz, because even in the program, we have children who have never had a grapefruit. And
wow.
you would think that wouldn't be so. I mean, a pomegranate or a star fruit or rhubarb, you
I
would understand.
And I know adults that haven't had pomegranates.
Right, right.
But I don't think I know an adult that has never had a piece of grapefruit.
Right. And really, people really, we're finding that they just don't eat fruits and vegetables,
mm-hmm.
period. And so we teach the children why that's necessary. And they are getting it. They're getting it. We have children.
What kind of resistance and what kind of acceptance do you see in the kids?
Resistance would be things like, I don't like fruits and vegetables. I don't like broccoli. I don't
mm-hmm.
like carrots. I don't, you know, they, and nobody's going to make me eat them.
Mm-hmm.
And, things like, well, I want to eat fruits and vegetables, but, you know, my mama won't, you know, get them for me. I mean, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't try to get into all of that.
Mm-hmm.
All we just hear them and then do our work while they're in the program
mm-hmm.
to help them to understand that, you know, there are foods that you should be eating every day, and there's a variety of fresh fruits and vegetables. So if you don't like corn, there are other things that you can get to be just as good
mm-hmm.
or palatable. And that's what we do in the adult workshops. You know, we also...
Who's easier, the kids or the adults? And
the children.
Getting them to eat right, it's easier to get the kids to do it than it are.
Across the board, it's the children. We experience with the adults. Some adults, when we go into the nutrition classes, there are going to be a few who've already made up their minds.
Mm-hmm.
But there are going to be others who are skeptical, and they're looking perhaps to find more information or to just prove that what you're saying is right.
Mm-hmm. So when kids, what's the kind of the overall experience from kids when they try things like pomegranates, when they try things like star fruit?
They're really open, and that's all we're asking them to mm-hmm. be, is just to be open. Now, we have to do a lot of incentives and motivating and uplifting and lifting up the children to help them to, again, feel good about the choices that mm-hmm. they're making, that when they make a choice, if a child comes to the program and says, you know, Ms. McClurkland, you know, I had an apple today and I didn't have my hot fries. I mean, we'll make a big deal mm-hmm. out of that, because to them it may seem like a small endeavor, mm-hmm. but to them that may have been something major.
It is major. That they made that decision. That's a big deal, because mm-hmm. they're facing a lot of pressure and habits out there to make the wrong decisions about right. the food that they eat, or the not healthy decisions right. for the food that they eat. And we have to take a break. When we come back, Linda, I would love to talk about some of these statistics, the okay. hours of nutritional classes, mm-hmm. the hours of aerobic classes. I'd like to run through some of those. Okay. But before we go, I want to remind everybody that Healthy Futures Day is tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Wohl Recreation Center, 1515 North Kings Highway at Martin Luther King. Free rides, free prizes, free food, music, entertainment, health screenings, and also don't forget, folks, for the grown-ups out there that are open, the grown-ups out there that want to be open, don't forget Eternity Deli at 11 South Euclid. You can find the best soul food in town there. Today's a lasagna day. I had eggplant yesterday. It was fabulous. The carrot supreme, the beets, everything. Just go on over there. Try it. It's good for you. And you will enjoy it and love it. It's so wonderful. Please get on over to Eternity Deli at 11 South Euclid. Their number is 454-1850. That's 454-1851. Soul food like your mama should have cooked it. I'll be back. Stay with me.
It takes a village to raise a child. That African proverb has special meaning to Hope for the Nations. In locations in 20 countries worldwide, Hope for the Nations combines education, micro-enterprise, agriculture, healthcare, and housing under one roof. These villages bring together the young and the old, the healthy and the sick, singles, families, and the widowed, the weak and the strong, united to build buildings, build families, build resources, build community. It takes you and your support to help Hope for the Nations raise these villages. For more information, go online, visit www.hopeforthenations.com. That's www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994.
You have hundreds of reasons to visit the St. Clair Fine Arts and Craft Fair, Friday, June 24th through Sunday, June 26th, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. Your mom and dad, your big brother, Aunt Maggie, Uncle Bill, your cousin John, everyone at your college sorority reunion, for that person who has everything, or just thinks he does. You'll find something for everyone. Fine jewelry, framed works of art, clothing, quilts, sculptures, original artwork, candles, home decor, and photographic arts. All presented by your favorite artisans and crafters and the top independent vendors in the area. You can even bring home an exotic animal or two. Go ahead, you deserve something special too. Mark the dates on your calendar, then go and spend a whole day shopping. Friday, June 24th through Sunday, June 26th at the St. Clair Fine Arts and Craft Fair, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights and sponsored by Custom Cageworks and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more information at spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
Join WGNU today, Friday, as we broadcast live from the Fine Arts and Craft Fair at St. Clair Square from 10 a.m. today until 6 p.m. this evening. It's Radio Free St. Louis on location at the mall.
Hello, this is Brother Willie Loudon. Join me every Sunday morning at 8:30 and Let's Praise Him broadcast. Good gospel music and the latest church news to help you start your Sunday morning. So tune in on the Let's Praise Him broadcast every Sunday morning at 8:30 right here on WGNU.
ALS is a disease that can paralyze the body, yet the mind remains alert and clear. ALS is a disease that you can help fight, and all you need is your feet. The ALS Association, along with WGNU Radio, invite you to walk with us on Saturday, June 25th, at Steinberg Rink in Forest Park. To join the walk, pick up your registration forms at WGNU or register online at www.alsa-stl.org, or you can call 314-534-0610. We'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday, June 25th, at the Walk to Defeat ALS.
The Struggle for Fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Like a flower waiting to bloom, like a light bulb in a dark room, I'm just sitting here waiting for you to come on home and turn me.
This is Healthy Futures, the weekly radio program that provides information on how to take better care of your own health. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Healthy Futures. I'm here with Linda McKirkland, and Linda, welcome back.
Thank you.
We're talking about this event, Healthy Futures event, this Saturday, June 25th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Wohl Recreation Center. That's 1515 North Kings Highway at Martin Luther King. Free rides, prizes, music, entertainment, health screenings, Healthy Futures Day. That's just what we're having, Healthy Futures Day. So talk to us about the impact of your program, Healthy Futures, and talk to us in terms of statistics.
Okay. To date, in terms of our program, we've screened and assessed 475 children in terms of risk factors. We have provided 425 at-risk children medical and nutritional counseling referrals. We've done 52 hours of nutritional classes to 433 at-risk children. We've provided 1,018 hours of aerobic exercise classes to those 433 at-risk children. We've provided 73 hours of nutrition education to 298 adults, and provided 176 hours of health awareness presentations to 4,654 individuals.
Well, those are nice stats. Those are nice stats. When you work through the school, because you work through the Ferguson,
yes,
with the Ferguson,
St. Louis City Public Schools, City County.
Are the different districts, are they experiencing the same things? Are you noticing anything different in any?
No. We've done, and I really want to take a few minutes to call the names of the schools that we've dealt with, and I'll answer that question. We've been in Cool Valley Elementary, Johnson Wabash, Holman, Airport, Bermuda, Cole, Columbia. We've done Better Family Life. We've done PAC Community Center, Ethel Hedgeman Lyle Academy, St. Louis Charter North, Jameson Resource Development Center, St. John AME Church, Walnut Grove Elementary, Nelson Mandela Overcross in East St. Louis, Peabody, Gibson Central Catholic, Hickey Elementary, and Agape Christian Academy.
Hmm. Now, that's private, public, east side, west
charter,
side, north side, everybody.
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 Everybody. And the issue is everywhere.
Hmm.
The issue is everywhere. And, you know, we have children who respond differently to what we're doing in the program, but in essence, we're finding the same risk factors everywhere.
And before you started doing this, were there some things that you expected to find that you didn't find, and some things that you didn't, that you hadn't thought about finding and that you did find?
Yeah, the partners who knew me from the very beginning, they saw a very, I think, overly optimistic person, because I thought in the beginning that when we started the program, you know, man, everybody would want this. I mean, how can they not want this, you know, for themselves and for their children? And so the biggest reality check that I had to deal with was it wasn't like that. It was difficult getting forms back from the children, from the parents. It was...
Was that just benign neglect, or was it just actual resistance?
It may have been maybe a combination of factors, because we found out later on that sometimes papers just don't get to mom and dad.
You put them in the backpack, yeah, and they disappear in, yeah, that abyss of Never Never Land.
And also parents may fill out forms, and they're just in the desk. We just learned a lot. I think, Liz, after doing the project for 2 years, I think I know what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, I had very high expectations about, there was no reason why I could not have screened 1,000, 2,000 children.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a lot of obstacles that we had to face. Not only, I mean, learning that every school is different,
mm-hmm,
and the way you navigate yourself in the schools and who you have inside to help you, all of that,
mm-hmm,
determines how much you're able to get done.
Well, how were the schools? Were the schools open?
Very open. The ones that we were in, very open to what we were doing, and also working with us and giving us access to the children, giving us access to the space. Again, wanting the program to be longer, but because this was a pilot project, and basically what that means was we were working out the kinks in the bug.
Mm-hmm.
But after August 2005, Healthy Futures will be a viable program.
Mm-hmm.
The first 2 years we call it a project, because mm-hmm, we are working out everything,
mm-hmm,
and we're getting it together and finding out how we need to fine-tune it to make it a better program.
Well, how could someone get Healthy Futures in their school? How do you sign up? I mean,
all they have to do is just call me at the office, 314-454-9830. And we can talk about it. And another thing is that we've pretty much done the Healthy Futures program in an after-school setting.
Mm-hmm.
But our ideal state is to do it during the curriculum day. Why? Number one, because we have a greater captive audience of the children.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't have to go through all of the permission, mm-hmm, you know, for the app, like we do in the after-school program. And then it flows within what the children are already doing. See, Healthy Futures is a prevention program, but it's an extension of what's being done in the school. It's not a separate something coming in to teach the children, you know, to do something totally different. We're just an extended arm of what's already happening in the school system.
Mm-hmm. So how do the teachers work within the program? Are they just observers, or do they actually help with the participation?
Now, because we're an after-school program,
uh-huh,
we don't necessarily work with the teachers,
okay,
but teachers have been very instrumental in helping us getting forms back, talking about the program, and also making sure that sometimes when we have the children in the after-school program, they're there with us. We had a great experience with Nelson Mandela over in East St. Louis, because the staff, the teacher, Principal Seabury, they were there actually going through the program with the children.
Oh, how neat.
That was really
how
fun.
Neat.
And Liz, we had 140 children,
wow,
to work with.
Wow.
That was a lot. That was a learning experience, but it was one of the greatest learning experience that we've had.
Do you all do like survey sheets or after the program it ends, sheets that the kids get to fill out that tell you comment sheets, I guess?
We're working on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in the pilot phase, we looked at those issues. Okay, we want to know at the end, how do you feel? But when we did, and Nelson Mandela School, we did the Hip Hop for Heart program, which is under the American Heart Association.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, when we did their post-test, they had a little survey where the children,
mm-hmm,
would put down their actual comments.
Mm-hmm.
And they said things like, well, I liked the program because it was fun. Or, I didn't like the program because I had a headache. It gave me a headache. Because they had to work and they had to, you know. Or they would say, I like the program because, you know, I've never had a grapefruit.
Uh-huh.
I mean, so some of the exposure things. But one thing that we did find out that was one of the most critical things for the program is that, especially when we're doing after-school programming, children do not want to sit at a desk and fill out your paperwork.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
We've learned a creative approach to integrating the physical movement with the actual educational component.
Very good. Very good. And again, tomorrow is Healthy Futures Day at Wohl Recreation Center, 1515 North Kings Highway. Free ride, free prizes, music, entertainment, health screening. There's going to be food there as well. Healthy Futures Day at the Wohl Recreation Center tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. That's 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., right. 1515 North Kings Highway at Martin Luther King. The number for more information is 367-2292. That's 367-2292. And we have one more minute.
Okay. Well, again, just want to say that tomorrow, Healthy Futures Day, is just Support a Child International's way of saying thank you to the St. Louis community, thank you to the Missouri Foundation for Health, and all of the partners that I've listed for just allowing us to do this work and allowing us to continue the work. And we are definitely going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And Healthy Futures Day will be an annual event that all of our sponsors, community sponsors, will work on. So whatever it is tomorrow, it'll be greater and grander next year, because we want to be able to excite the whole community about the work that we're doing in terms of childhood diabetes and obesity.
And again, if people want to get this program into their school, where would they call?
Call me, Linda McClurkland, at Support a Child International, 314-454-9830.
454-9830. Ms. McClurkland, I will be seeing you next week. What are we going to be talking about next week?
Are we going to go and finish with the lead?
Wait a minute. No, next week is cooking week.
No, that's
next
right.
week is cook. Don't you try to cheat me out of my cooking. Next week is cooking. We're cooking. We are cooking next week. Yes, we are.
Yes. I was so busy with health.
All right. Good thing I remember.
You reminded me.
Okay, we're cooking.
But I have Katrina. She would have reminded me. Linda, you know, we got to do cooking.
All right, so we'll be doing that next week. And I will see you then. And don't forget, everybody, Eternity Deli, 11 South Euclid. I'm telling you, it is the best vegetarian. It is the best food, period. You need to just go on out there. Make it your afternoon delight. Go on out there during lunchtime. Take a friend with you. Check it out. They have a soul food buffet that is vegetarian. It is unbelievable. They have greens. They have, I had the macaroni and cheese. I thought I was going to cry. It was so good. It was so good. Get on down to Eternity Deli, 11 South Euclid, 454-1851. I'm Liz Brown. I will see you next week.
Okay.
And I'll be back. We will be talking to Akbar Muhammad when we come back. Oh, Luther. Say a prayer for Luther. Say a prayer for Luther. I'll be back.
Why could you send back the only man she loved? I know you don't do it usually, but dear Lord, she's dying to dance with my father again. Every night I fall asleep, and this is all I ever dream.
This hour's Wake Up Call Global News Update can be heard in its entirety next Friday at this time.
You've been looking for a reason to start your weekend a little early, right? Well, then why not start out with the St. Clair Fine Arts and Crafts Fair, Friday, June 24th through Sunday, June 26th, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. See fine jewelry, framed works of art, clothing, quilts, and sculptures. Discover new original artwork, candles, home decor, and photographic arts. Visit with some of your favorite artisans and crafters and the area's top independent vendors. Learn about exotic animals from ring-tailed lemurs to mini Nigerian dwarf goats. You can even bring home your own sugar glider from Custom Cage Works. All for you Friday, June 24th through Sunday, June 26th. The St. Clair Fine Arts and Craft Fair, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights and sponsored by Custom Cage Works and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more information at sbcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
Join WGNU today, Friday, as we broadcast live from the Fine Arts and Craft Fair at St. Clair Square from 10 a.m. this morning till 6 p.m. this evening. It's Radio Free St. Louis on location at the mall.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Have you been wondering what Susan Smith Harmon has been up to lately? Well, wonder no more. The airwaves were just a little too irresistible for her to stay away for long. Now you can catch Susan on the WGNU airwaves on Friday mornings from 10 to noon. Spend your Fridays with Susan Smith Harmon from 10 a.m. to noon here on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax, my toll-free long distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Do not forget, we are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net, and we are archived daily. Every single hour of every show is now archived daily. So if you missed an hour, go get an hour at whiterosesociety.org. That's whiterosesociety.org. I was talking to the webmaster the other day, or emailing him and talking via computer, and he was saying that the numbers are just growing hugely of the people that are downloading the program. So if you missed an hour, someone was telling me the other day that it's so cool because he can go home over the weekend, download all the programs, and then listen to the show all day long as he's working around the house. So if you missed an hour, that's all right. You can go get an hour at whiterosesociety.org. I have with me, calling in from California, Minister Akbar Muhammad to talk about the Millions More movement. Akbar, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Liz, how are you?
I'm outstanding.
Okay.
So you're over there.
My most favorite radio announcer in America.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I appreciate you getting up awfully early over there on the West Coast.
Anything, Liz, to get on your show.
So,
but I just want to say before we, I know we only have a few minutes, but I just want to sing your praise. You know, everybody, Akbar just loves Liz, and I want to say to the audience, that's exactly right.
Well, thank you.
And I want to say that I listened as you were talking this morning. I heard the last part of the program, and you're right. I have a good friend, Shaheed Muslim, there, who eats at Eternity, and he tells me about how good the food is. He ate at their place in Atlanta.
Have you been there?
Yes.
When
I was in Dimona, as they say, Northeast Africa, I call it Occupied Palestine. We had food there that the Hebrew Israelite brothers and sisters prepared that was unbelievable.
And they have a place.
What they could do with tofu is unbelievable.
And they have a place in Ghana, too,
right across from the
busy internet.
That's right.
See how I remember busy internet.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I
want to say quickly, first, we were blessed on Monday, last Monday, to open our Million Man March 10th anniversary office. It's called Millions More Movement. in the Sears building, old Sears building, Victor Roberts building is proper, on Kings Highway, 1408 Kings Highway. And I just wanted to make an announcement to the community that we have targeted 10,000 brothers and sisters to go to Washington for October the 15th, which is the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March. And out of this office will be our nerve center to make this happen. And for brothers and sisters who want to register, and, you know, the bus fare is going to be about $150 round trip because of the mess that Bush has made in the Middle East, that they play ping pong with us with these oil prices. One day it's up, next day it's down. But the price of gasoline is so high that the bus price is almost triple from what we did 10 years ago. So in order to make this happen and get that many young brothers and sisters, which are really our targets, we want everyone to go, but they're our target, we're going to try to be raising funds in the St. Louis area to sponsor some of our young people who may not be able to afford $150. So it gives us some months really to work on this and to do some events. And I want to say to you, Liz, and your audience, that we have an excellent conference center. It holds approximately 175. We could squeeze in 200 people. We can do films there. We can do book signings. We can do reading. And we want to use that as a kind of a hub to help us in the activities towards the historical anniversary of the Million Man March.
Very good. Very good. So talk to us about why is it important that people go to the Millions More movement? What's
because, you know, Minister Farrakhan said that he was finished with marching and, you know, anniversaries. But as he looked at the condition of the country, especially our people, this war in Iraq that's taken the lives of so many young African-American black people, I should say, across this country, the crime in the inner cities. I'm here in Los Angeles. The minister spoke to a group of mothers who lost their sons and a few daughters to gang violence. They're mainly mothers. Most of them were single. And then last night, the night he finished, Wednesday night, 2 hours after he was finished speaking, two more young men were killed in the streets of Los Angeles. We have to work on this nationally. And what has happened, Liz, and important to what you said about the Internet, you on the worldwide Internet, our news has been isolated to communities. What happens in St. Louis on the north side, the killings, the struggle you had even with the school system, unless we forced it to become a national issue by our own efforts, it would have remained a local issue.
There you go.
I just spoke to the people in New Orleans. We want to get you on a program down there. The very same thing that happened in St. Louis is happening in New Orleans as we talk right now.
That's right.
But the people in New Orleans do not know that we had that challenge in St. Louis, and they're going about it in the same manner, and this is why we must connect. So when you talked about being on the worldwide Internet, we have to push this idea so that we can know what's happening in Boston, New York, Philadelphia, that is patterns that are happening in the black community. And we have to push the idea for this connection so that we will know. So we hope that this march, number one, we want to, as we say, we want to rock the boat. We want to let America know that we are not a group of satisfied Negroes and that Bush and his administration is doing all right by us. But the masses of black people are struggling, suffering, and even catching hell from those in power and authority. And if you notice during the political campaign, John Kerry, nor Bush talked about the poor, the struggling of the poor. They didn't talk about that. It wasn't an issue. They didn't talk about what was happening with black people in the inner cities. They didn't talk about prison populations out of control and the numbers, disproportionate number of black inmates in prisons across the country. They didn't talk about our young people who cannot afford to stay in college and are forced into the job market. They didn't talk about trying to privatize a whole educational system. And when you privatize an educational system in a country as big as America, it's the people on the bottom that suffer the worst. So these are issues that we want to bring in. Minister Farrakhan said at the heart of his message, God willing, on that day will be reparations for black people of America who are descendants of slaves.
And in terms of the addressing of the political issues that confront our community, we're going to be talking about the war as well, right?
Absolutely. The war is a major issue, And if these political parties who are jockeying for our votes cannot answer straight, clear questions on this war effort, I mean, Liz, I haven't been in town, but you know that the high schools have been giving the Army recruiters names, addresses, phone numbers of young people, those who are having problems in high school, and the Army may be the alternative. There's a push now for recruitment in the schools, especially in the inner cities where our young brothers and sisters attend school.
There's something scarier than that. An article just came out in yesterday's paper that the Pentagon has now is going to keep a database of every 16 through 21 year old. They're partnering with a public company, and they're going to keep a database and start marketing to them directly. The Pentagon is.
Mm. See.
And we got to go. We only have 20 seconds here.
Okay.
What's the address and the phone
number? And God willing, when I get back in town, please let us meet and talk about some things that we can do and continue to talk to the community about this effort.
Absolutely. And I'm going to call you as soon as I get off the air here.
Okay.
All right. Minister
Akbar, okay,
thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You.
And I'll talk to you soon. This is Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I will be back same time, same place on Monday. Don't forget about the forum on Sunday from 3:30 to 6 at the Regional Arts Commission right across from the pageant. This is Liz Brown. Stay strong.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Four more are assumed dead after a suicide attack on a convoy in Fallujah. They include five women. ABC's David Curley has more from Baghdad.
The female Marines were in a large transportation truck on their way to a checkpoint where they searched female Iraqis passing through the gates. On the drive to